Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Victory or death, that is how Colonel William Travis signed his letter that he sent from the Alamo with a lone scout to go for help. Then, of course, fighting at least 8-1, they were slaughtered. But that sparked the revolution that brought us the great country of Texas and then its merger as the Lone Star State, the only state to voluntarily opt in after the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights during that 8-year process. And we stand here at that threshold again with classical hardcore tyranny eviscerating the republic. Make no doubt, America is being butchered and murdered right now before your eyes by a group of smiling New World Order front men. Here's the news today. I'll tell you about the guests coming up. Majority of U.S. states join sovereignty movement, assert 10th Amendment rights. A beautiful fact that now the majority of the states are on board thanks to your work, listeners. Obama to seek new assault weapons ban and more gun control. They are going to call it a reauthorization of the assault weapons ban and actually physically ban your rifles and handguns and register the rest of your guns. Attorney General Eric Holder is a vicious, vicious criminal. He has been identified as one of the key operatives over the OKC operation. Do you realize what I'm doing on air? I'm here pointing my finger at the Attorney General. We have his internal memos through lawsuits. The lawyers that did this were threatened, their families threatened, their lives basically ruined. Police officers were murdered to bring you this information. You understand? To bring you this information, a lot of people have died, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't a game. This is not a regular radio show where we sit around and play footsie and make fun of the liberals or make fun of the conservatives and giggle and snicker. Eric Holder ran the OKC cover-up operation. We have his letters where he talks about how it's national security to cover it up. And he has argued for all of your guns, including black powder, to be confiscated from you. He is an outrageous tyrant. He is the Tyrannosaurus Rex, the terrible tyrant of the police state. You heard me right. Obama seeks new assault weapons ban. The ban expired in 2004 during Bush administration. This is ABC News. Democrats introduce public national service bills forcing the old and the young to serve the feds, the globalists. I mean, this is slavery. And they're going to implode the economy down to nothing. And then you're going to be given a stipend, national ID card with credits on it. And the howling mobs that will now be living off the government will be deadly weapons pointed at the republic and the middle class. This is their move, ladies and gentlemen. This is their move. They don't build up a leader as a messianic savior unless they're planning open warfare against the people. You know, it's come out that most of, this is coming up, that most of the people that Obama's tried to put in his cabinet have had to step down. Some of them don't. They just go ahead and appoint them, like Tim Geithner, because they don't pay taxes. And I've told you, you can pull up the mainstream news articles where over 65% of Congress doesn't pay taxes. It's not meant for them. It's meant for slave. That's, look in the mirror. That's who they say you are. Well, here it is. Rahm Emanuel doesn't pay taxes. And it comes out, he doesn't just have billionaires paying for luxury palace homes he has in D.C. for free from lobbyists. He isn't just hooked up with the Chicago mob and every form of criminal operation. Rahm Emanuel doesn't pay taxes. Of course he doesn't. Like David Rockefeller said, taxes are for slaves. We'll come back into this and a lot more as the battle for the republic intensifies.
He's the T-Rex of political talk.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We've got David Bay and Chris Pinto, the co-directors of America's Secret Beginnings, Eye of the Phoenix, the Dollar Bill, joining us for an hour and a half from 1:30 p.m. Central Standard Time to the end of the transmission today to go over this powerful new film. Senator, we have a state senator lined up to come on the show as well, and we have State Representative Charles Key popping in because they have passed the resolution to say no gun confiscation, no martial law, no false forced conscription in Oklahoma, and it looks like it's going to pass the Senate unless they play some parliamentary tricks. We had a state senator on about that yesterday, the co-author of the Senate version of State Rep. Charles Key's bill. And that dovetails with this headline we've got up on Infowars.com, a great analysis from New World Liberty. Majority of U.S. states join sovereignty movement, assert 10th Amendment rights. Now, the last time 14 states passed this in 94-95, the feds bombed Oklahoma City, and it's an absolute fact they did. An absolute fact they blew that building. And guess who was Deputy Attorney General at the time? Eric Holder. Obama to seek new assault weapons ban and more. ABC News. Brace yourselves. Rahm Emanuel doesn't pay taxes. Another headline. Meanwhile, in Israel, what are they doing to fight the recession? Slashing taxes. No tax increases. Because when Kennedy cut federal taxes by 50%, the Treasury amount of money coming in doubled. As people spend more money and the economy explodes. They want to kill the economy. They know what they're doing. They want to consolidate the economy. The banks have bragged they're doing this. Netanyahu's set to fight recession with repeat dose of tax cuts. This is Bloomberg, plans to apply the same small government policies when he becomes Israel's prime minister as he did 6 years ago as finance minister. Then his tax and spending cuts helped lift the economy out of recession. They may be less suitable this time around. The Likud party leader, who has until April 3 to form a coalition, faces a shrinking economy, growing budget deficit, and a frozen corporate bond tax. The recession in the U.S. and Europe has clobbered Israel's exports, which account for about half the gross domestic product in the country, whose economy is smaller than Singapore's. His only fiscal tool for the government is a budget drawn up in August, installed in the parliament, the Knesset. Israel must take steps in the spirit of the U.S. and Europe to allow even bigger deficit, said A.V. Ben Bassett, a professor of economics at Hebrew University in Jerusalem. The situation requires a change in policy. And his plans are huge tax cuts, but the United States won't be getting those. I mean, you'll get $15 and something every 2 weeks, I guess. And then all the carbon taxes and regulations and attacks on the middle class, which will then just shut down their businesses and you'll lose your job. But hey, it's fun. Reuters reports financial crisis sparks unrest in Europe. We'll get into that. Bernanke again spurs talk of bank nationalization because they got to drive that bank stock down more so they can consolidate it. Got to badmouth that economy and engage in financial terrorism. Obama forecast $1.75 trillion deficit this year, and he wants the biggest supplementary funding to the over $1 trillion defense budget, up from $600 billion, with a supplemental of $800-plus billion. Obama's war machine needs $800 billion for 2009 supplemental. That's on top of it, so I guess the defense budget, with some other added things, will be $1,900,000,000. Ron Paul grills Bernanke, you can't reinflate the bubble. I'm going to play that clip a little bit later. Octuplet mom, I knew this was coming, fears hospital may not release babies. And then in the article, they say, yeah, the hospital's looking at using the CPS because maybe she can't take care of 8 babies. See, I mean, it's all about just first they demonize the woman in the news and say, how dare I have all these children? It's hurting the economy as if children aren't our future and don't fund the economy later. And I knew they were setting her up for this, so they'll have a big public event for you to sell, having the state take your children. CIA adds economy to threat updates. I mean, they're the ones. Wall Street founded the CIA out of Skull and Bones. They're the ones running all this, so they've got to now grandstand as our saviors, get involved domestically. Princeton physicist tells Congress Earth is CO2 famine, which it is. Increase will be good for mankind, Business and Media Institute, and a powerful member of the liberal MPs, of all people, is challenging the leader of his party because he's a scientist. He says, humans not causing climate change, look at Hitler. And he ties it into Hitler, I think, very well done. I've got all these photos and images we were just looking at yesterday and today of Obama all over the world shown as the Christ, as Jesus. He's now more popular in polls than Jesus. Meanwhile, this is the type of fluff they're feeding the public out of the Sun. Sex-mad Russian died after guzzling a bottle of Viagra pills to keep him going for 12-hour orgy with 2 women pals. This is the kind of stuff they put in the news to distract the public. So that is some of what is coming up today. Major newspapers like the London Times and others in the 1776 period wrote about how horrible it would be if we were allowed to set up our own country outside their banking system, and how horrible it was that later, a decade later with the Bill of Rights, that there was a Second Amendment, and that if the idea of people being able to be armed spread, the serfs of Europe would no longer be slaves. Now remember, the first gun laws were against blacks in this country after they were freed. They began buying firearms and defending themselves from the lynchers and the slave masters and the people that wanted to burn them out. They would get jealous whenever blacks started their own businesses. Despite a lot of oppression and things that went on, there were a lot of whites, in fact, the majority, that worked happily with blacks. And so some of the first big cotton gin operations and tanneries and businesses were owned and run by blacks. And they'd burn them out. They'd kill them. And the blacks started fighting back, so they passed laws to take their guns. And, of course, Native Americans were disarmed. Slaves are disarmed. You know, Pol Pot says, turn your firearms in. The public turns them in. He slaughters 35% of Cambodia's population in the next few years. Obama to seek new assault weapons ban. But when you read the ABC News article and more, see, they're going to call it a reauthorization of the assault weapons ban, but they're going to physically ban them. He wants that new power in the bills they've introduced. We've read those bill numbers on air. It's in the Obama Deception film. It'll be done Sunday. Hallelujah. And it's happening. I've got a clip of Obama. It's on YouTube where he says, look, I'm for reasonable gun control. We're not going to ban all your guns overnight. We're just going to do it in steps. And they want a shooting war. They want a physical fight. They know that there's a large percentage of gun owners who will not turn their guns in, and they want dead cops and dead military and dead citizens. You know what Holder does in here, and I told you they were going to do this. It's in the Security and Prosperity Partnership plans that Judicial Watch sued 2 years ago and got. It's an endgame blueprint for global enslavement. They state in there they're going to use the collapsing economy and economic crises and influx of refugees from Mexico to bring in the SPP. And now they're saying, oh, we've got to have a continuous border with Mexico and Canada. We've got to merge the two. You'll have a inner North American Union passport. They've now rolled that out. People are getting it. Has a tracker chip in it. The Mexicans are to be given it. The Canadians are to be given it. And because they made drugs illegal, and it's a $400 billion industry, and as I told you 3 years ago with Sela Castillo, former head DEA agent down there, they were training Los Zetas and others under CIA control to go in and go after the 4 sub-cartels and a few other mini-cartels who only had about 30-40, depending on which numbers you look at, percentage of the cocaine and heroin trade out of Mexico into the U.S. That's the major conduit. And so they started a war with the drug cartels, knowing that it would totally bring Mexico down, and then the martial law would be declared in Texas, which they've now done on the border. They're now at a high stage of alert. We had the state senator on a few days ago about that. It is martial law on the border now, and things are collapsing, and Holder says that American guns are going to Mexico. Now, that's a lie. The drug cartels are getting their weapons from the Mexican military. There's been reports where the Mexican military's bought four times just in the last few years the amount of machine guns and handguns and rifles they need for their forces. There's many more guns in their possession per soldier than they actually have. They don't care, though. You know, the CIA gives thousands of 50 caliber rifles to the Taliban, and then they try to push 50 caliber bans saying Al-Qaeda's got 50 cals from American gun shows. No, then it came out on record. The CIA gave them the stinking things. This is how they operate. They create the crisis, offer the solution. And he says that, and they're coming for your guns. The crime rate's going to explode. There's going to be wars with the Mexican mafia and MS-13 and Los Zetas. The kidnappings are exploding. We're now a third world country. They're kidnapping people all over Austin. They keep it quiet. Kidnapping capital of the world is Mexico City. Number two in the world, this is even put out by Interpol, is Phoenix. Number three is L.A. Number four is Houston. You think that the drug-dealing, money-laundering banks that run our country didn't know that cracking down on the drug cartels that don't pay their cut was going to cause civil war? They're going to start war with Iran. They're going to start total implosion in Mexico. They're going to take everything you've got. And they're going to have giant brigades of millions of people with welfare cards and uniforms. They're going to give, they've already done it, the welfare crowd machine guns. They're coming for us. Thank you for joining us. I'm here Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Don't forget the free podcast you can download and subscribe to at InfoWars.com by clicking on the Listen Live page. Back. You know, the people crave unity and friendship and brotherhood, but the establishment gives a counterfeit of that. They say that's what they're doing, but really they're creating division. Like Attorney General Eric Holder, very wicked man, coming out and saying Americans are cowards racially. That was to re-inject racial tension. Because they don't want us to unite. They want us to keep on fussing and fighting. Obama to seek new assault weapons ban. The ban expired in 2004 during the Bush administration. The Obama administration will seek to reinstate the assault weapons ban that expired in 2004 during the Bush administration, Attorney General Eric Holder said today. As President Obama indicated during the campaign, there are just a few gun-related changes, just a few, that we would like to make. And among them would be to reinstate the ban on the sale of assault weapons, Holder told reporters. Now, remember, right before he became chief of staff, Congressman Rahm Emanuel introduced bills to basically ban everything. I mean, folks, this is happening right now. Holder said that putting the ban back in place would not only be a positive move by the United States, it would help cut down the flow of guns going across the border into Mexico. Why don't you defend the border, traitor? Most of the guns don't come from here. That's why we need guns. They've got a gun ban in Mexico, and look how they're falling apart, like Chicago and New York and D.C., and you know that. You want lawlessness, so we've got to come to you and beg and be your slaves for protection. It's like the mob threatens to burn down your grocery store if you don't pay them protection money. You're a mobster. You're a dirty gangster. It would help cut down the flow of guns across the border into Mexico, which is struggling with heavy violence along drug cartels along the border. I think that will have a positive impact on Mexico at a minimum, Holder said at a news conference on the arrest of more than 700 people in a drug enforcement crackdown on Mexico's drug cartels operating in the U.S. They only arrest their competition, by the way. That's all this is. Publicly, the globalists run a war with U.S. troops in Colombia for over a decade trying to get the goodies. A State Department travel warning issued February 20, 2009 reflected government concerns about the violence. So see how the news integrates what's happening in Mexico as if the Second Amendment did this? When no one is allowed to own a gun but the corrupt, scumbag police and military of Mexico? You want to be a slave? You're going to be, folks. Some recent Mexican army and police confrontations with drug cartels have resembled small unit combat with cartels employing automatic weapons and grenades, said Holder. As if grenades are being sold in businesses. This is pure horse crap. The drug cartels mainly have Heckler and Koch machine guns from Germany that are sold to the military and then sold by the military to the drug gangs. Resemble small unit combat with cartels employing automatic weapons and grenades. The warning said large firefights have taken place in many towns and cities across Mexico, but most recently in northern Mexico, including Tijuana, Chihuahua, Juarez. At the news conference today, Holder described the discussions with Mexican counterpart about the recent spike in violence. I met yesterday with Attorney General Medina Mora of Mexico, and we'll discuss the unprecedented levels of violence this country is facing because of their enforcement efforts, he said. So he comes out and says, we got to pass gun bans in America because of Mexico so we can live just like they do with a bunch of pot-bellied government scum ruling and taking everybody's property and just dominating everybody so we can live like people do in Chicago and New York and D.C. You piece of trash. State Representative Charles Key about Oklahoma on the verge of passing their Declaration of Independence joins us in T-minus 27 minutes. Then Celia Castillo, who's going to be in court today. Prosecutor claims Iran-Contra whistleblower is a danger to society. They did the same thing they did to Randy Weaver. They kept saying his buddy that, you know, met him at gun shows, oh, just sell me a shotgun. Just please sell me a shotgun. He's a school teacher, former police officer, former DEA agent. And he said, okay, here's the rifle. Boom, they busted him. Turned out that that was staged, so they had to drop that case, and they charged him with something else. This is how they operate. It's how they roll. And he told us more than 3 years ago, those YouTube videos and Google videos are everywhere. Like, I don't have the time to do this, listeners. It really helps us when you go out, you heard the shows, you remember them, and find the shows from years ago where we say they're training CIA paramilitary Mexican commandos with billions of dollars in South Texas to launch a huge drug war to take over the remaining cartels. They mean to bring down Mexico and collapse it. Exactly what we told you is happening again. Because Celia Castillo was the most high-ranking DEA agent. He was over about 50 officers in Central and South America. He was over it all. And he saw them flying the cocaine out of Elapango Airport, and he blew the whistle. He's been on Nightline, you name it. He's testified before Congress. And they told him about a year and a half ago, on air, he said, yeah, they've been threatening me. They've been calling me. They told me, we're going to get you. Then he exposed at the BATF in Texas gun shows where he sells his books on the weekend just to educate people. He exposed how they have hidden cameras in the gun shows trying to set people up for not even breaking the law. And they told him, we're going to get you, Silly Castillo. We're going to get you. And when they pulled him over in the setup sting, they said, how dare you say the government deals the drugs? You're going to prison. You know, any police that are in denial about the fact that over 80% of the heroin and cocaine brought into this nation is brought in by the CIA or by their licensed couriers, and then to be money laundered, there's constantly ships and 18-wheelers and jets crashing full of cocaine and marijuana, heroin, you name it. It's all over the news. I mean, there's so much of this stuff they're shipping over directly in CIA aircraft that there's been many cases of them crashing in the U.S. and in Mexico and in Latin America. You understand, we have drug-dealing criminals that run the government. They want your guns. They want to dominate you. They want a tyranny. They're going to bankrupt the economy so bad that all the Kool-Aid drinkers are going to be given government ID cards that government credits are put on, as Homeland Security announced years ago. And you're going to have most of the public on the government payroll with fiat money. This is the equivalent of a Nazi/Soviet/Mao takeover. But if the police and the military and the states say, we know what you're doing. We know you're criminals. We know you're foreign bankers. We know you don't even pay taxes. You're so corrupt. We know you're a private Federal Reserve. And we just beat that drum. And we know you're going to, folks, I'm telling you right now, I'm sure of it. They're going to stage terror attacks soon. I will be very surprised if they don't stage something big by the end of this year. And then it's going to be just full out federal worship on TV. The terrorists hit us. We're doing what we have to. And I think it's going to be Al-Qaeda-type terrorists, you know, operatives, are going to go into shopping malls and schools. I think it's going to be hundreds dead. Now, just exposing this may stop it. But all of their attack patterns, their pre-programming, their drills, their ops tell me that is one of their main programs. They've got that operation locked and loaded and pointed at the people's head. Aaron Zellman, Jews of Preservation Firearms Ownership head, believes that. Larry Pratt has told you he believes that. I've had congressmen on that say they think they're going to pull something. But people in the know that they stage most of these things. And then they get copycats going after they hype it. And I want to explain something to the military and police and others. Even if you're reprobate, I know most of you are good, but even if you're evil and want to go along with this, you're going to be hurt in the process as well. This is going to hurt your family, and they are going to take your pension funds. Just know that. If you stand up to these bankers and say no with this PSYOP they're running, we will defeat them. But you got to have courage and you got to commit. I don't want to hear you can lose your job. I don't want to hear you can lose your business. I don't want to hear what your neighbors think, what the pastor think. Do you know all the things I've gone through, the attacks, the physical attacks, the death threats, the dirty tricks, the money I've turned down, you know, with huge networks offering me incredible amounts of money a decade ago and then just a few years ago to join the New World Order team? You know how many affiliates I lose? Because I won't mince words. I won't back off. I am committed to this. And if you would just commit and get past your cowardice, we would defeat the New World Order overnight. Let me continue. So they're hyping that Mexico's collapsing, where they have a total gun ban for the slaves. That's what they call them down there. The ruling elite of Mexico are mainly European. Go read the names on their Congress. It's green and Swartz, and it's incredible. The name they have for their people down there is the cockroaches. That's what their racist government, you know, of all of them, 6'4", 6'5", white guys, been down there. You know, Maximilian, the German Empire, the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, ruled Mexico. Mexico attacked the United States during World War I. They began an attack in World War II for Germany. It's globalist run, period. Meanwhile, the European Union crowd, and that's what they were then, even in the 40s, attempted coup d'etats here in the U.S., attempting to lead the Marine Corps to overthrow the government. But the Marine Corps commander, Major General Smedley Butler, blew the whistle on it. And it was good men that stopped this. It was Fox Fallon, who I wouldn't even say is a good person, but when they wanted him to stage terror attacks on his own ships a year ago, when they wanted him to move the carriers into missile range of Iran, he resigned as the head of CENTCOM. So let's continue. If you cop out on this, if you make excuses on this, if you cower and don't give the maximum effort for liberty, you will be destroyed. Don't you understand? This isn't even courage. This is self-preservation. All you can do is fight. All you can do is say no. All you can do is resist. Continuing. At the news conference today, Holder described his discussions with the Mexican counterpart about the recent spike in violence. I met yesterday with Attorney General Medina Mora of Mexico, and we discussed the unprecedented levels of violence this country is facing because of their enforcement efforts. Yeah, the drug war. They admit the drug war is causing this. Holder declined to offer any time frame for the re-implementation of the assault weapons ban, however. Now, remember how 150-plus years ago how the British brought down China? Within two decades of bringing opium into the country that was banned, using the fact that it was illegal to buy off local police and the constabulary, they took over the port cities. Then with the U.S., French, the Dutch, everybody else, they went in and broke the country in 10 parts because of the civil war caused over the opium money. This is order out of chaos. Order out of chaos. They know exactly what they're doing. The drug war will destroy America. The bigger it gets, the more people on drugs, the more people get killed, the more cops get killed, the bigger the prisons. It's something, as I said, that the president talked about. Holder declined to offer any time frame for the re-implementation of the assault weapons ban, however. It's something, as I said, the president talked about during the campaign. He said there are obviously a number of things that have been taking up a substantial amount of his time, like overthrowing the banking system and totally taking over the U.S. Yeah, as soon as that's done, they're going to move on your guns. That have been taking up a substantial amount of his time, and so I'm not sure exactly what the sequence will be. You hear that? In a brief interview with ABC News, Wayne LaPierre, president of the National Rifle Association, said, "I think there's a lot of Democrats on Capitol Hill cringing at Eric Holder's comments right now." But see, they're rushing to get the machines in where you don't have a vote anymore, so it won't matter. During his confirmation hearing, Holder told the Senate Judiciary Committee about other gun control measures that Obama administration may consider. And see, they're going to call it a reauthorization of the assault weapons ban, but the Brady Center and Violence Policy Center are saying they're going to bundle basically semi-auto bans of all handguns and rifles into it. National registration, psychological testing to own a gun, no more owning a gun if you've ever had a misdemeanor or been to a shrink. Bans on old-fashioned ammo. You got to have the new stamped ammo. Just total control. This is a quote from Holder. "I think closing the gun show loophole," that's banning you being able to sell a gun to your neighbor. "I think closing the gun show loophole, the banning of cop killer bullets." He always said like there's cop killer bullets. Like all bullets aren't cop killer. That's to manipulate the police. Oh, the Holder wants to protect the law enforcement like they did at OKC. They protect you. They love you. "I think closing the gun show loophole, the banning of cop killer bullets, and I think that making the assault weapon ban permanent would be something that would be permitted under Heller." That's the Supreme Court decision. See, because that Supreme Court decision actually said that they can restrict guns. They said, oh, you have a Second Amendment right for us to ban your guns. Holder said, referring to the Supreme Court ruling in Washington, D.C. versus Heller, which asserted the Second Amendment as an individual's right to own a weapon. "The assault weapons ban signed into law by President Clinton in 94 banned 19 types of semi-automatic military-style guns and ammunition clips with more than 10 rounds. A semi-automatic is a quintessential self-defense firearm owned by American citizens in this country," LaPierre said. "I think it is clearly covered under the Heller and is clearly, I think, protected by the Constitution." The first comment on here on the ABC News story says, well, that didn't take long, did it? The logic of Holder's statements really escaped me. How will the ban of so-called assault weapons to civilians in the U.S. have any impact on Mexican drug wars? No impact at all. No, it'll make it better so we can live like they do there. No impact at all. None. Sure, it's easy for Mexico to blame us for their failings. Huh. Well, it is the government. The U.S. did fund them with billions of dollars to start the war. To shut down their drug dealing competition. They have been doing it for years. By definition, no semi-automatic or any kind of assault weapon. It is made up term that is bantered about with no thought behind it. No, there's total thought behind it. It's almost like, oh, Holder, oh, Clinton, oh, Bush. They're so stupid wanting this assault weapons ban. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what's happening. I mean, and they've got the American people trained where the average person, if they're at your house and see a gun case, they get scared and like it's full of rattlesnakes and 14-foot cobras and vipers and all of this. Meanwhile, your cars every year kill 35, 40 times, depending on the year, what guns do. Swimming pools kill 5 times on average what guns do. And most people being killed by guns are criminals invading homes or drug dealers shooting each other up. A citizen sees cops in paramilitary black masks with submachine guns, and they go, oh, I feel so safe. Oh, yes, oh, oh. But they see another slave with a gun. They're like, you're a slave. You're not supposed to have a weapon. And just like black house slaves in the United States, 200 years ago, if they saw a slave with even a knife or a mallet or a hickory stick or any type of weapon, they would run in and say, the slave's got a weapon. The slave's got a weapon. You are gelded. You are domesticated. You are cowardly. You will be usurped. You will be enslaved. You will be robbed. You'll be nailed to the wall until you actually grow up and be men and women out there. Every day I see articles where a woman calls 911. I saw one just this weekend where a woman called 911. It took the police 15 minutes to get there, and by the time they got there, she was murdered. I mean, somebody starts busting in my house. My wife just goes to the instant access pistol safe that's in 3 rooms. She has the revolver in seconds, and she just relaxes calmly, points at the center of mass, and opens fire until the firearm's discharged. That's it. All these people buying, you know, $100,000, $200,000, million-dollar safe rooms and concrete with their own ventilation to hide out. Somebody starts coming to my house, I just calmly, like a robot, go get the firearm. That's how you got to do it, and just relax. Take a deep breath and just open fire. You know, that woman with that chimpanzee, that 200-pounder, you know, a 100-pound chimp is as strong as a 500-pound man in shape. 200-pounder, that means it had the strength of a 1,000-pound man with 2% body fat. Ripped her nose off, ripped her eyes out, ripped her face off. Of course, it was on psychotropic. Always, you know, it's not norm, you know, the insert of those drugs says causes psychotic breaks and delusions. Every mass shooter we've seen has been on it. Every case has been on it. I've talked to a lot of police when they pull up at a house in Houston or whatever, and a naked woman's dancing on a roof, slicing her breast off with butcher knives, or a woman cuts her baby's arms off or drives her kids into the water. They're always on it. Always. It's a hallucinogen. And yeah, you may have 2 or 3 years of good trips, folks, putting you in a dream, but you're going to have that bad trip, and then it floods the brain and triggers through the serotonin reuptake inhibitor system huge imbalances, and then aggression hormones flood the brain. Do they try to stop people taking this? No, 20% of the public's on it now. And under the New Freedom Initiative that Bush passed, they say in there they want half of America's school children on it. Half. And then they give the kids death education. You know, if you look at the numbers since federally funded death education began in schools, first at Littleton, Colorado, at Columbine, first place it started, they teach the kids about death, how to commit suicide, and then suicide explodes because they're teaching 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds how to hang themselves, how to shoot themselves. Then they put them on Prozac. They tell them when you're depressed, you know, don't commit suicide. They teach them how to do it, and they kill themselves. The social engineers know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. Instead of taking your 12-year-old out and letting them fish and crawl around in creeks and build things in the shop or make models or spend time with them, you put them in front of a TV 5-6 hours a day. You feed them Coke, a cola with all the caffeine and cocaine derivatives in it. You let them eat all the crap. They feel like crap. They watch TV. They go to school. They're on hormones that make them go into puberty when they're 8 years old. They're all upset and freaked out. You put them on speed. You put them on Prozac. Then the school teaches them how to commit suicide. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. Because you're in the world. You're in a psychological warfare grid. You're having eugenics carried out against you. Now, they're going to stage terror attacks. They're going to stage mass shootings. You can bet your bottom dollar on that sooner rather than later. We got to get the word out now about what these cretins are pulling. Coming up, Democrats introduce forced public service slavery bills. They're coming, folks. They're moving at every single level. This is the big move. This is the Sovietization. If you've studied history, you know with horror that everything the establishment is doing is a fusion of Roman tyranny, Babylonian tyranny, Egyptian systems of control, Nazi systems, socialist systems, communist systems, and all of these big think tanks openly have studied and just spent, it's got to be trillions in the last 50, 60 years in mind weapons, in how to dumb you down, and how to break down the family, in how to neutralize and control you. It is a fact. Scientific criminal groups have gotten in and said, we want to stay in power forever. How do we do it? And they're doing it. Democrats introduced public national service bills. Comprehensive national service plan detailed. Corporation for National Service would be granted cabinet-level status. And through USAservice.org, a private group, it will be privately under the control of the new dear leader, just like Mussolini and Mao had. And Adolf Alois Hitler. Through the SA and the SS. A Democratic senator from Connecticut has introduced four bills aimed at establishing a groundwork for a system of comprehensive national service. Senator Chris Dodd, Democrat, Connecticut, says the legislation will create the architecture and the structure that will serve as the invitation for everyone to serve. And then you have Rahm Emanuel, the chief of staff, saying it'll be forced. The invitation for everyone to serve. The Senate bills, co-sponsored by Thad Cochran, Republican, Mississippi, our companion legislation to bills Representative Rosa Del LaRosso, 3rd District, introduced Tuesday in the House, calling for increases in federal spending for public service programs. The legislation would target everyone from school children to the elderly and aim to create a new basis of volunteers beyond just the usual adult pool of service programs participants report. Two of the bills, named the Summer of Service Act, that's what Emanuel says forced, can't even have your kids for those 3 months because they're not under government control. Just the TV's brainwashing them then. Two of the bills, named the Summer of Service Act and the Semester of Service Act, they're already federalizing curriculum openly, calling it, you know, Obama curriculum, are particularly aimed at middle school and high school students that will offer credits in return for participation in community service programs. Yeah, they're going to pay them and then make them. Some residents and education experts are concerned that such public service programs may become part of a student graduation requirements. Well, that's what Rahm Emanuel and Obama have said. A bill named the Encore Service Act offers cash rewards to people 55 and over who participate 250 to 500 hours of public service. And that'll be government-directed brainwashing and political action. In return for this service, participants would also receive an education award, which would be transferred to their children or grandchildren. A fourth bill, so see, it's government payroll. A fourth bill, the Action Act, is aimed at increasing awards for AmeriCorps volunteers and reestablishing the corporation connection with federal agencies. The bill would also grant the Corporation for National Service cabinet-level status under the Obama administration. Senator Dodd, in introducing the bill, which he previously failed to bring to a vote, Dodd told the media that legislation in response to President Obama's call for his inaugural address for national service. People ask me why I joined. I joined because the president asked, Dodd said. We've got a president who's asking. We have previously highlighted the eagerness of the new president and his staff have displayed in calling for a system of national force service. Back in July of 2008, Obama, then presidential frontrunner, called for a civilian national security force as powerful as the U.S. military. We cannot continue to rely on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful and just as strong, just as well-funded. And he's already had meetings with the clergy response teams to take over local communities and the InfraGuard, 25,000 executives who were armed with license to kill orders. The comments were ignored by the vast majority of the corporate media, but were found by troubling by some independent journalists who compare the idea to the foundation of the Nazi Hitler Youth. Fears of youth brigades or civilian-style Stasi units increased following Obama's appointment of Rahm Emanuel to chief of staff. Stay with us. We'll cover this a lot more. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The forces of tyranny have taken over the banks, bankrupting the nation by design, bringing us an open world government. We're moving ahead with the most draconian gun bans ever seen. Mexico is falling through paramilitary operations launched 3 years by the globalists at the Pentagon. They're going to use that to ban guns, as we warned you. Now Holder's saying it. I want to open the phones up for the next 30 minutes before Sully Castillo joins us to talk about this and how he's being persecuted for exposing it here on the show more than 3 years ago. The toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. Then Charles Key joins us next hour about the majority of states now passing or introducing legislation to declare sovereignty against the globalist under 9th and 10th Amendment. And then we're going to, for an hour and a half, have on the makers of the Eye of the Phoenix, part 3 of America's Secret Beginnings, available at Infowars.com. And I would challenge everyone to not procrastinate when it comes to the information war. You can pre-order right now the Obama Deception. It will be shipping out now in only 17 days. That will be the twinkle, the blink of an eye. Get your pre-orders in now for the Obama Deception, and then it'll be shipped out in the order they receive. Get yours first. Get your orders in early, ladies and gentlemen. The Obama Deception doesn't get into, is he really born in Kenya, and is he a commie, and all this stuff. We show how the bankers funded him, created him, how he's lied about the torture, the secret arrest, the lobbyists, the police state, the gun control, the open borders, the whole agenda. And then really what you do is you give it to your friends and family. It's really a film about the bankers and the New World Order and how they control society through roundtable groups. And I went ahead and decided we've been adding some more to the film as we add music and fiddle with the audio and things to, you know, make it high quality, you know, really master the film, as they say. I went ahead and went past. I wanted to make it 90 minutes, and then it was 100, and then it was 110. And, you know, a two-hour film is short for me, and I think it's going to end up just shy of 2 hours. Oh, but it is really jam-packed, and we'll have some good, important extras on it as well. So order the Obama Deception at theobamadeception.net or Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com through the secure online video and bookstore shopping cart, or call toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. Now, if you're going to order other stuff off the website, do two separate orders. I'd go pre-order the Obama Deception, and, you know, that'll be shipped out in 17 days. Or you can do a separate order, because there's no time to waste to get this three-plus-hour film for $19.95, the whole history of the bankers, who they are, how they operate, the money masters, how banks create the world's money, how they run their scams. As Andrew Jackson said, if Congress has the right under the Constitution to issue paper money, it has given them to use themselves, not to be delegated to individuals or corporations. James Madison said history records that the money changers have used every form of abuse, intrigue, deceit, and violent means possible to maintain their control over governments by controlling money and its issuance. James Madison. Thomas Jefferson, if the American people ever allow banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their forefathers conquered. The issuing power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs. This goes on and on. You need to get the Money Masters at Infowars.com. Abraham Lincoln said the government should create, issue, and circulate all the currency and credits needed to satisfy the spending power of the government and the buying power of consumers. By the adoption of these principles, the taxpayers will be saved immense sums of interest. Money will cease to be master and become the servant of humanity. Abraham Lincoln. That's why he was like a paradox. He did a lot of good things and some bad things. But they killed him when they were done with him. So Infowars.com to get the Money Masters or the Eye of the Phoenix or Fabled Enemies or Terror Storm or Never Get Busted. Infowars.com or 888-253-3139. Transmission continues after this quick break. Stay with us. Your call straight ahead.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Forced National Service, North American Union, open borders, new wars, massive gun confiscation, banning, registration, licensing. It's all happening. You better get the word out, folks. You know, I get on air and I say, please spread the word about this radio show. We tell it like it is. We don't pull punches. We lay out the architecture of the globalists and how to beat them. And I know you are spreading the word about our AM and FM affiliates. You are spreading the word about the websites, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.net. And then you're spreading the word about the free podcast, and then you're supporting us. But we have to get this information out to everybody. If just the listeners of this show would take my films and make 100 copies apiece of Road to Tyranny or Terror Storm or The Obama Deception and give those to others with a note saying, hey, please make copies and pay this forward, pass this on, we would bring these people down. But we've only, I think, got 6 months to a year before they stage another huge terror attack. We are in a race before they stage a new war, before they fully implode things, ladies and gentlemen. This is desperate. They're bringing everybody into a crisis, so the public panics and says, we'll do whatever you say, and there'll be riots and all of this, as they're saying they're going to have, so we accept military occupation and face scanning cameras everywhere and being body scanned to go through the airports. I mean, it's just all happening. It's so evil. And I know a lot of military and police and bureaucrats in the system are waking up now. Good. You know, you heard us tell you this 12 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. You laughed. You know it's true now. Everything we told you has come true. Listen to me. The people running this New World Order pulled off the Nazi op, the Soviet op, the Chinese Communist op, the Pol Pot op, the Latin American ops. They just haven't fully moved against us because we have the Second Amendment. I don't want this to go to the next level. We can avert this. We can stall the enemy. We can back them off. We can wake more people up. But it's going to take maximum effort and facing the facts of how serious and grave and dire our situation is. Walker in China, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, first time. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, your computer phone's breaking up a bit, but go ahead, Walker.
Okay, 2 points. The first one is just a kind of a tangential point. My girlfriend here, I've been living here about a year and a half, and I brought up the New World Order and, you know, the New World Order narrative to her on several occasions, and she told me that in her high school textbook, now she was in high school back in 01, 02, during their political class, whatever that means, they read about the New World Order and how it was a good thing. Now, she couldn't offer me any more details, and I've asked her to retrieve the textbook.
Let me just tell you. There are hundreds of textbooks, college, high school, middle school, that we know of. In the last 6 months, we've posted, I think, 3 different textbooks that are being used in middle school and high school with the names, with the blow-up, saying world government, the bankers will rule you, they know best, Second Amendment is evil, carbon taxes are wonderful. And so just Google textbook covers New World Order or textbook covers chemtrails. There's a bunch of textbooks they teach high school students. The government is spraying an aerosol in the air to form clouds to protect you from solar radiation because the ozone layer is dead. And you know, so see, for the children, they... Time Magazine for Kids, that they give out free in most public schools, has said in two issues that we know of, your parents are backwards. It literally says in foolish, they don't know the future and how great it is to get a chip, but you're trendy and awesome. I mean, sir, it is like a science fiction nightmare dystopia. So yeah, the kids, right. They tell them, we're spraying you. Yeah, we're going to tax you. We're going to take your guns. Now come line up. The police dogs are coming. You know, it is just re-education, brainwashing camps, and the parents are busy having no idea what's even going on, but go ahead.
Sure. Well, yeah, and of course, and I'm aware of those things going on in the U.S., but it was strange to me because she grew up in the middle of nowhere in Sichuan here in China. So it kind of...
Sir, it's all unified. China, Russia, they're all in it together.
Okay. The second point is, and this is kind of a more surface point, but and this has to do with Obama and kind of the Brzezinski influence. And this has to play, and this is because I'm living in China, so I'm aware of the heightened kind of state of tension now that Obama's in office. And, the media plays up that it has to do with their human rights and the trade and all this other stuff. I don't buy that. I think Obama is the Africa candidate in that, and especially this is helped by the dubious veracity of his citizenship, but China has made a lot of inroads into Africa. And they've got
Sir,
a lot of
it's in the Rand Corporation. It's everywhere. It's in the Obama deception. It's AFRICOM, like NORTHCOM, CENTCOM, SOUTHCOM. SpaceCOM. They have already moved massive troops into Africa. They're building bases everywhere. And yes, they need him to be the front to allow the domination of Africa.
Okay, great. Well, that's all I have to say, Alex. Thanks for all your good work.
No, I'm glad you brought up very key points. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Thank you, Walker. Forrest in California. Forrest, you're on the air.
Oh, yes, sir, Alex Jones. I want to say that all these people and organizations that serve the side of tyranny and human enslavement, what they need to understand is that they're going to get screwed, too. Like you've said before many, many times, it makes me think of a gangster movie when we have a gang of criminals and then the boss guy takes out everybody else. So, but basically...
Well, what does the Joker do in the latest Batman, The Dark Knight? He always kills his helpers after every job. That's what they really do.
Exactly. And...
See, let me tell you why they did this. In every nation, Cambodia, China, Russia, everywhere when they do this, when the British would use a group to overthrow a country, they would then kill them off going back 300 years. The Dutch would do it too. They know that the group that helped bring them to power, the foot soldiers, know how to overthrow, know how to take action, and have avarice. And so the first thing they do once they set up a total tyranny is the first group they kill, just like with the Nazis and the Night of the Long Knives, 40,000 people in a week, Ernst Röhm, the head of the SA, the first group they kill is the people that brought him to power. 40,000 people in 1 week, and they grabbed Ernst Röhm that first night, took him in a jail cell. The SS walked in, and he said, why? Why are you doing this? He said, I love Hitler. I've known him ever since the start of the Nazi Party in the 20s. And they said, we're going to kill you now. And he said, then kill me. I worship Hitler. This is on record. He goes, Heil Hitler, as they shot him in the chest with the Luger. Go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah, and about taxing cars and people for driving, that is just the most un-American thing I can think of because, I mean, America is about freedom and being able to travel. And, if there's hard times in one area, people move to other areas where there's more opportunity. And, having checkpoints in states so people got to pay you tolls to get in. I mean, it's all about keeping people locked in and...
And the Pentagon says that. This is a military-designed grid.
Yeah, man, all of us, man, we just got to...
And they go, we're just going door-to-door and blocking off the town and going and searching people's cupboards and under their beds and stuff in their closets. I mean, what's the big deal? So NORTHCOM says they're going to use this against the American people, and the Army War College says it. It still doesn't exist. We're doing it, but it doesn't exist.
Yeah, I mean... you all go to the heart of the matter because you all don't have any agenda. You're about the highest common denominator.
No. We have an agenda. It's liberty and freedom and defeating tyranny.
Right. I mean, and then see when the elite to talk about their God, being the light or whatever. what they're talking about is like shining the brights in people's faces, you know, so they can't see where to go.
Well, that's a play on words. That's why they worship Black Sun, and I appreciate your call, Forrest. You know, their most secret symbol is the Black Sun. See, it's a counterfeit. People ask, well, why do they call Christ the Morning Star, but then Lucifer the Morning Star? Well, he's the counterfeit of that. See, they expropriate archetypal images that are good, like the rising sun in the morning. They expropriate that symbol and create a black sun. Why is one of their greatest totems the owl? You know, Lilith. Because it can see in the dark. It is a bird of prey that can see in the dark. We are in darkness. They are illuminated. We're like blind guinea pigs that have had our legs and arms chopped off, being dropped into boa constrictors. Good points. Michael and Mass, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Alex? I had 2 points I wanted to bring up this time. First off, I listened to Ron Paul the other day grill Ben Bernanke, and while it's nice to see him give him a little lesson, I got to say I'm kind of getting a little sick and tired of hearing the same thing over and over again. And, you know, let me just say, I burn DVDs, I hand them out, I confronted the mayor of Boston, you know what I mean? I talk to police on a daily basis, so I'm not just whining, you know what I mean? What I want to see from Ron Paul next time he has Bernanke, I mentioned this before, why can't he just start embarrassing these people? You know what I mean? The main reason why the American people are still listening to the globalists is because the globalists still have this aura of legitimacy.
Yeah, we have to call them out as criminals that need to be arrested, like the state senator did yesterday. And Ron Paul, love him to death, and I've told him this, you know, privately, he is just too much of a gentleman, too much of a nice guy. They attacked him in the media. I think if he'd have been more aggressive and more hardcore, that he would have had a better chance of winning. And, you know, he does keep bringing out the point. He has laid out that it's all staged and imploding, so he's getting a lot of credibility right now. But, you know, it's not just a Ron Paul alone. It's for all of us to carry the message.
I agree, sir. Maybe Dennis Kucinich might be a better candidate. I remember what he did to Cash Carr.
Well, Kucinich is good on a lot of issues, but he is a socialist, and he is for Second Amendment restrictions.
Certainly. Can I just mention one thing about the police state in Boston?
Sure.
Yesterday at the Silver Line Station, I was
walking. Stay there. I want to hear about this, because remember a couple years ago they got $2 billion from the feds to put in face scanning cameras? $2 billion. Billion. In face scanning cameras in Boston alone. Just a nightmare control grid. Stay with us. We'll be right back. And we'll continue with Michael and Mass. We are back live. Michael and Mass. New World Order Command Base Central. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You wanted to finish up with a police story.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's kind of funny you mentioned that about the federal funding, because when I busted the police's chops about something here, he mentioned, oh, we've been doing this for years, we got federal funding back, you know, when the Democratic National Convention was here, so I just thought that was funny. But anyways, yesterday I'm leaving work, and I walk into the Silver Line Station at the World Trade Center here in Boston, and they had a table set up, about 5 or 10 police officers chilling there. And they had this little computerized device on top of it. So I walk up to him, you know, and I do this all the time.
In America?
Oh, yeah, Alex, you would have loved the faces these guys are giving me. It was incredible.
Talking to them? Oh, yeah, you know, they don't talk to slaves.
Oh, yeah, I'm Al-Qaeda, definitely. And so I'm like, guys, you know, what's going on over here? What's this device you got right here? And he looks at me and he goes, that right there is a device that can detect trace elements of Bob-Macon materials. And I had to
write it. There's thousands of different things that make it false alerts, so that's their little excuse to search everybody going on the train.
Yeah, and so I just kind of like laughed and said, you know, whatever, you guys are ridiculous, and walked away. But then when I got to Seoul Station, I started talking to some of the other police officers, and I said, look, do you guys ever get concerned that this is all just, you know, illusion? They're just trying to keep everybody scared, so they, you know, they just put you out there, you know, where there's certainly no threat. And he just kind of, you know, smiled and was like, well, you know, that's your opinion. I'm not here to talk about, you know, people's political opinions. It's just like, these police officers are so Orwellian, like, it pinned down in that Orwellian mindset where, like, you know, it's not even doublethink, it's just don't think in the first place.
No, that's right? called that's called Crime Stop.
Yeah.
In 1984. You don't even have a thought that could question the state because that's Al-Qaeda-ish, that's Goldstein-ish, that's the Secret Brotherhood-ish. Thank you for the call. Brent in Washington, welcome. Another New World Order command base. Go ahead.
Alex, how you doing today?
Pretty good.
Hey, listen, I've got the, well, I say I got the answer. The scriptures have the answer to a lot of this New World Order problem and what have you that you
The problem is if we push people towards the churches, most of them are nothing but FEMA fronts now publicly to brainwash. So, but yes, right. The scriptures are the answer. The problem is the scriptures are twisted and aren't taught in the devil church.
That's right. That's right. And the base foundation of that devil's church is right there in Revelations chapter 17 and 18.
The whore.
This church is a Catholic church, and all the other harlot daughters that it talks about is the whole organized religious system. Basically, if you got any church operating under a 501c3, that you're part of the harlot church system.
Well, I know that it violates the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But 50 years ago, now about 58 years ago, they tricked the churches. Oh, it's just a form you sign. And then they become a charity, and now they're under federal regulatory control, and now they're being publicly co-opted. And yes, every major denomination serves the New World Order now.
Yeah, and I've came out of that. But anyway, back to the source of the answer to the problem. I believe the scriptures are very clear that the ultimate answer to our problem today, this invasion of the New World Order and the global masters, is the second coming of Christ. That's our answer. You know, we talk about Ron Paul. We talk about Bill Cooper. I mean, the list goes right on down the line.
Yeah, well, let me just say this to you. People in Nazi Germany thought Hitler was the Antichrist that was into the world. They told Founding Fathers, stand down, Romans 13, God's will. And I see the churches going, praise the Lord, they're chipping people. It means the end is here. And then there's this cop-out about a pre-trib rapture. It's all a big distraction and diversion. And people cop out on that and say, oh, Jesus is coming back. You know, he's going to fix it. Well, why didn't the prophets get, stand down and, you know, and do what Caesar said? Why were they killed? Why were they in prison? Why were they tortured? Why did they seize Christ? You're supposed to fight evil. And if you're not, then your tree's not bearing any fruit at all. And, you know, faith without works is dead. So, the bottom line here is I see the problem emanating out of the Christian churches. I see them as a bunch of smiley face, painted trollops and minions. And people go to church to find other people to hook up with to have sex. They go to church to have fun and make business deals. They go to church to worship the government, and most of their preachers are on the payroll, and the New World Order churches are saying, Jesus is coming, praise the Lord, nothing has to happen, just put your faith in Jesus, and we don't have to do anything, we're about to be out of here, and they're not going to be out of here. What do you say to that?
I agree. I used to believe, when I was in the Harlow Church system, I believe that that they taught us for years that we were going to have a pre-tribulation rapture, and we didn't have to worry about anything. I do not agree with that. Matthew 24, verse 29, pretty much nips that in the bud.
Tell us that verse when we come back, and then we'll go to Sella Castillo. I'm Alex Jones. This is GCN in association with InfoWars. I wanted that caller to read that verse, but he hung up, didn't understand me, so we're going to go right to Sella Castillo until about 5 after next hour. Then we got State Rep Charles Key, very close to getting it passed to the Senate. They've already passed to the House, declaring sovereignty, declaring independence. Majority of states have now done that. Okay, Sella Castillo was a Vietnam vet, combat sniper. His dad was a big war hero. Down in World War II, folks out of South Texas, down on the border. And he became a police officer on the border, and then he became a DEA agent and became the head honcho for all of Central and South America. And then he saw government drug dealing in Elopongo, the cocaine being loaded on the C-130s. He blew the whistle. He's testified. His testimony's been in Congress, Nightline, just you name it. And he's gotten death threats, and he said a few years ago, the information he was bringing out now, that he'd been threatened for exposing the fact that the BATF, through color of law, without warrants, terrorizes the gun show owners all over Texas, and it's all over the country, to have hidden cameras watching everybody, and they're you know, in the back room or up in the ceiling, watching everyone and trying to set folks up for no reason in private transfers of firearms. And they threatened him and said, you know, we're going to get you for this. And they did set him up once. That was beaten in court. They set him up again. I want to talk about this case because it's coming to a head. Here's the headline out of the news, out of the narco news. Prosecutor claims Iran-Contra whistleblower is a danger to society. But before we get into that, Shelley, I've been interviewing you for close to a decade. Now, remember, oh, time flies. 4 years ago, having you on air, and then again 3 years ago, then again 2 years ago, and then I got separate intel on this. Everything he said checked out. And when you know somebody over the years and talk to other people that have worked for the CIA, like Mr. Reed, who's in my police state to the takeover, who was at the other end of Alapango in MENA with Oliver North and Bill Clinton with the cocaine coming in, and then he blew the whistle and they went after him. And he's on record. He wrote Clinton Bush and the CIA. But everything he said is checked out. I mean, I remember having Sully on 5.5 years ago when we'd only been in Iraq 6 months, and he said they're using death squads and tens of thousands of people out of Latin America to run the death camps in Iraq. And he said they're torturing them, all this. And then that all came out, and then it came out mainstream news. This was not in the news at the time. They were using death squads down there. And so that's why I pay attention to what Sully says. A school teacher now. And his job is, of course, in a lot of trouble now. They tried to set him up on a firearms, you know, selling deal, selling somebody who set him up just legally, you know, private transfer, but they selectively say that's illegal. And Shelley, going back 4 years ago, said Mexico is going to collapse by design. They're going to put in a right winger after Vicente Fox leaves. And, I mean, this is before we'd heard of Calderon. It's all on video. I even had him in studio. This is all out on the web. This is there. I need somebody to go edit this new interview with that, and it'll show that we predicted all this. I don't have time to go pull it up or do it myself. We're too busy here. But, listeners, you can. Because, I mean, proof is in the pudding of what we say coming true, because we have all these great sources that I've vetted over the years. And I appreciate Sully being patient to come on. I just want to lay out how important his sacrifice is. A lot of folks have died, been in prison, been set up to bring you this information. Now, Shelley Castillo said that they were training Los Zetas right out of the Mexican military, the CIA, to go after the four other drug cartels that only have about 30% or less, 35 or less, of, and I've seen other studies on this, of the drugs that aren't being laundered by the CIA through the banks. So these are uncertified drug dealers, just like the FARC had to be killed and attacked. Richard Grasso, head of the New York Stock Exchange at the time, publicly went to Colombia, met with the head of the FARC, and said, invest with us, we won't invade. They said no, so they invaded. That's a double set of rules, openly saying invest your money with us. And so there's been a covert war down there for close to a decade. And he said they were going to do it in Mexico, designing the fall of Mexico for basically to then bring us into North American Union. Then the SPP documents came out, and that's exactly what they were planning. They said through crises, we will get our North American Union. And now the border is under martial law. We've had a state senator on confirming that. The National Guard is there. The deaths are now in the thousands every month. It is just insane. And Shelley Castillo was right about all that. And now they're trying to send him to prison. No criminal record up until the time they set him up. Vietnam vet, sniper, police officer, DEA, highly decorated. Shelley Castillo, I want to get into your plight. But first, just recap, what is happening with Mexico right now? Any new added data? You're down there on the border. And where this whole agenda is going with Obama and the rest of it.
Okay, basically, first of all, thanks for having me once again, Alex. And I certainly appreciate what Wes is doing for me here. The thing about it in Mexico, I said it several years ago, that the United States is going to try to take over Mexico, whether they'll use drug trafficking or corruption or whatever you want to call it. And that's what they're moving into now. You know, you got to remember Mexico's got some of the best mineral rights and gas, you know, petroleum, you name it. They have it in Mexico. So it's one of the last resources of the fuel economy that we're having today. But the on the drug cartels, the thing about it that most, if not the major drug cartels, are working for the Mexican military. And that's where everybody's so confused about fighting the cartels and so forth. But the bottom line, it is the cartels that are supporting weapons going into Mexico as a reason. You got to remember also that Mexico, for the first time, has admitted that they have a paramilitary group now. And this is where some of these weapons are coming in. Yes, they are fighting some members of the drug cartels, which are freelancing and not following the rules. So that's where you have the major problems. But in Mexico, what they're doing, the military is going in and taking all this property, land, homes from everybody else, offering them a very small percent of what the value is, and then whatever money they get, they bring into the U.S. to launder. And that's exactly what's going on in Mexico. If you see, you don't see any major drug cartels bosses being killed. You do have a couple of guys that that are being extradited, but they're no big deals. I mean, it's just outrageous what the Mexican government is doing.
All right, let me stop you right there. Countless high-level officials, the head of drug interdiction, all of it have been caught with billions of dollars. Literally, one guy at his house had was something like $600 million, U.S. dollars, in his basement. I mean, the whole thing was just filled with cash and, you know, a giant mansion. I was down in Mexico a few months ago in Yucatan and, you know, went down there to do some snorkeling, take a few days off with the family. And I said, last time I was here in Costa Maya, there were all these fishing boats. And I've been down there twice before. And they said, yeah, all fishing has been banned, and they're taking all the local people's property that have paid for it and even had taxes, and the town was basically empty now. And then I talked to other townspeople, and they said yes, so I Googled it, and I knew that under the UN biosphere moves in the 80s, they pushed most of the indigenous in Chiapas and other areas off of their cornfields. They'd been there for thousands of years but didn't have deeds, up to Mexico City and then to the maquiladores up on the border, the staging ground. But yes, the Mexican troops are now everywhere you go. There's Mexican troops. They're shoving people around. They're just literally robbing and squeezing, wanting a revolution. And there's been rebellions, as you know, Shelley. The public doesn't know. U.S. reporters have been machine gunned in front of everyone, but that only makes it in foreign news. I mean, you've said in the past they plan to cause a revolution there to then have an even bigger clampdown. Can you explain that?
Well, yes. Basically, what they're doing is once again they're forcing people out of their lands. People that live there make their lives for many, many, many years, and basically they realize that the real estate is huge, sometimes bigger than the drug trafficking that's occurring, and doing it legally, taking those lands away. The problem that the Mexican military is having right now is trying to launder the money into the U.S. banks. But say, for example, a couple of months ago, $300 million just came in into one account here in South Texas, belonging to the military, where they are actually laundering the money to different bank accounts. And there is a huge amount of money coming out of Mexico and into the U.S. And they certainly are trying to put a pony show on the face of this thing that it's out of control completely. And the U.S., I think just Governor Perry just said yesterday they're bringing in thousands of National Guards into the borders. Now, mind you, what happens is when they come in here, there are going to be scrimmages because it is the Mexican military that's involved in the drug trade, so there will be firefights along the river.
Well, I mean, we've talked to folks who fly their planes and shoot video along the border. The Mexican flatback trucks come up, load the drugs on other trucks, drive it across. I mean, our criminal government knows that. They've now had the new Attorney General, Eric Holder, announce that they want to basically ban most of our guns in the U.S. in the name of not having them shipped to Mexico. But we know where the guns are really, really coming from down to Mexico. The military on record has bought four times the arms they need for personnel, and they just sell them directly to the drug cartels, the big ones that are cracking down on the baby cartels. How's the war? Comment on that, and then how's the war going against the mini cartels?
Well, this is what's going on. There's plenty of room for everybody to make money. That is what the drug trade has fed for many, many, many years. But you got to remember, when you see those big dog and pony shows on the newspapers of hundreds of AR-15s and handguns and so forth, you got to remember that on the background, you see the M-204 grenade launchers. The ammunitions, the 204 ammo, the 40-millimeter Mike, what they call them, they're used for grenade launchers. Those are all U.S. military issue. Cases of grenades, I mean, thousands of cases of grenades, those come from our U.S. military. Doesn't come from a gun store in South Texas. It comes straight from the military, our U.S. military. And I found that to have happened before during the Iran-Contra investigation when they were the U.S. government was supporting the Contras. I personally seized a warehouse full of U.S. munitions, U.S. grenades, U.S. M-16s. And when I brought U.S. Customs to investigate, to trace the ammo and the weapons, Department of Defense put a stop to the investigation.
And this is key. You said on record here on this show 4 years ago and then 3 years ago that there was a massive military buildup with the Pentagon training in South Texas and other areas and giving him grenades and military weapons. Now those are showing up. That was in ABC News, but they say the grenades are from gun shops. Again, I mean, the article implies that and says we've got to ban your guns in America because there's grenades. I mean, that's how dumb the public is. They talk to us like children. Explain to me the players here, and then I want to get into your plight, Sally, because, you know, by the way, I need to give you my office number because Wes, you know, called me up here and said, can you have Sally on? When you need help, I need to give you my producer's number so that you don't have to go running around town calling people you've known to get them to call here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll talk about that later. The point is, or I should give you my cell phone number, but the issue here is, Sally, because I didn't know you were going to court this soon, and maybe I'll hold you a little bit over and maybe move Key back because this is so important, or maybe have you on after he...
Love to go back, Alex, and just have an sit-in with you at the studio. And I'm willing to do that any time you ask me to go up there. I'll drive up there and do that because I think it's very important with the issues in Mexico that's happening, our bans in our weapons. And I need to explain to the public about the myth of the AR-15s going into Mexico. And there's something really big that the American people need to know about those weapons, which is really against the government, and they need to be educated on that.
All right, stay there. But my last question on this subject, you said they were planning to foment an implosion and arming paramilitary forces through the Pentagon, many School of America-trained people down there as well. So explain to me the battle configuration. We know we have the big drug cartels backed by Chase Manhattan, Citibank, and others. They're down there wanting to consolidate the drug war, wanting to knock their competition out so they can even jack up prices higher. How is that war going? Is it four or five mini cartels they're fighting? And, you know, so, and they can bust the myth that, oh, this is happening because Calderon is fighting the drug dealers. No, he's trying to consolidate the drug trade. So, specifically, what's the master plan?
The master plan is real simple. If you go to Monterrey, Nuevo León, that's like the headquarters for all the drug trafficking, gun smuggling, stolen vehicles operations. And they are actually 200. What they're called oficinas, offices, and they're run by different crime syndicates, including the military. And out of those 200, you have maybe 10 major criminal syndicates that run the whole operation. And say you're coming to Nuevo León, Monterrey area, with a shipment of cocaine coming in from Central America. There are codes, there are barcodes you have to tag as the checkpoints, and that will verify if you're a legitimate drug trafficker or you're not. And if you're not, they kill you, they take the drugs. Same thing with the monies. The money's coming from the U.S. into Mexico. The same thing. It is a very huge operation, but it's mostly run by the Mexican military. And remember that they have now Blackwater, which is now known as Seas, into Mexico, being part of the money laundering operations that we had back in the 80s with the BCCI banks. It went as far as that now the drug cartels, the Mexican government, the Mexican military, has now purchased several banks in Spain which just implemented one of those banks into South Texas. So this is huge. This is nothing that the mini cartels are trying. No, no. This is drug trafficking at large by the Mexican government and supported by the U.S.
Military. And it's so industrialized. It's barcodes. It's shipments. $400 billion
exactly.
Conservatively a year. Yeah. I mean, so it's just totally industrialized. And I've even talked to people in the military in the U.S. with those surveillance blimps. And they say they're told, with a guy behind them, an intelligence officer, stop that, don't stop that, stop that, don't stop that. And they'll have planes coming in that are flashing a code. I mean, this is industrial level. This is massive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's you know, it's not going to stop either.
So what is the war? The war is them knocking out the baby cartels.
Exactly, the baby cartels, because there is plenty of room for everybody to get rich down in Mexico and in the U.S. Like I said, we have more banks in South Texas than we do Circle K's or 7-Elevens. So needless to say, the banking system is thriving on the drug trade. And I've always said, Alex, if we were to stop drug trafficking today, our banking systems would collapse.
Absolutely, Sally. All right, when we come back, I want to spend the next two segments with you about your plight, briefly how they set you up and how folks can support you and how they're trying to put you in jail. You beat one of the false raps, and now they're back with another one. But, well, I also mean to ask you where you see this going, you know, the master plan in all of this. Well, we know. I told people months ago they're going to use the implosion in Mexico for gun control here, and they're doing it. And, I mean, on the news, it's fully auto. You wanted to comment on that, too. M16s with grenade launchers and grenades. This is not from the gun shop. But everything has to be blamed on our precious Second Amendment. And the public is so dumbed down, they think you buy hand grenades at Walmart. Sally, you said they were going to come after you for what you were doing, specifically exposing how they're setting people up at gun shows. You told newspapers that. You testified to that. Went into court cases, exposed it, and they threatened you. They did set you up. Tell folks what's happening to you.
Okay, the latest thing, Alex, is the fact that I had a court hearing last week, and basically my new attorney filed a motion for me to stay out on appeal, and... of course, the government responded to the motion, and they cited that I was a danger to society. And basically what they did was the AUSA in the case got up there and made the outrageous allegations once again, which she has been doing for the past several months, and basically the judge wouldn't have any part of it, and he cited my record and that I was not a danger to society. Although he did deny the motion for me to stay out on appeal, my attorney was very well read into the fact that she asked for an extension for my self-surrender. So the judge went ahead and did that and gave me to maybe June or July to self-surrender again. But at that time period, there's going to be a motion attached to it to where I should try to remain on appeal. And but basically what I'm trying to do now, Alex, I need financial support from the public because I need to hire an attorney that's going to file civil rights violations against the government. And I have the proof and the evidence for that, and I need to file that, and I need to do that in the next couple of months, and I need to hire an attorney to do that for me because the violations under the Fourth Amendment and under the 16th Amendment they did violate. They made a false arrest on me, knowing the fact that it wasn't warranted. They filed a criminal complaint with false information. So that's a violation of my constitutional rights.
For folks that don't know, it was a gun case of a private transfer of a firearm.
Firearms, exactly. You know, another guy bought the guns from, and he sold them to me. And they knew that there is a constitutional law case called Polk versus U.S. That says he was not a prohibited person, and I wasn't a prohibited person. So there was no arrest there, but yet they manufactured an evidence by saying that I had conspired with a convicted felon And they named the guy as individual. And guess what? That guy still sells guns at the gun show with a license, Alex, with a license. So they manufactured that evidence, and it was false. It was perjury.
Well, for folks that don't know, the feds admit they have thousands per state of felon informants who have never even seen people before, and they'll just come in and say they saw you commit a murder, anything. I mean, this is how the federal courts work.
Yeah, and that's what it is. But what it is it bought me some more time to prepare my case with my new attorney. And what it turned out, Alex, believe it or not, the attorney that I did hire and paid him all the money that I got from you guys on the show, turned out that he was under investigation by the state bar at the time he took my case. Secondly, he got a letter of intent to suspend, and cause he stole $30,000 from, allegedly stole $30,000 from three different clients. So he got a letter on the 15th of October that he was going to get suspended on the 1st of November, and he sentenced me on the 22nd. And my God, if that's not
Well, Shelley, there's a lot of backstory to this as the whole system collapses. I don't know about that specifically.
Yeah.
The point is that people need to go to your website, and I know there's a lot of constitutional lawyers in Texas. Somebody needs to, who's good out there, who's got a track record of being a patriot, needs to help Shelley in the Second Amendment case. This needs to be fought on those grounds, and your civil rights being violated. We'll be back in 1 minute. Give out your website for folks that want to check it out. And I think more than financial support, we need to have some good constitutional lawyers come to your aid. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, the Greeks have shut down all the major airports in Greece. People are rioting all over to Europe as the bankers don't just steal all their money out of the bank accounts, but also privatize and seize the infrastructure. State Representative Charles Keyes coming up. Oklahoma's on the verge of passing their resolution. And we're talking to Shelly Castillo right now. Shelly, give out your website for folks that want to see the history of government drug trafficking, all the heroic work you've done. And for anybody that the great folks that have supported you two or three times in the past here on the show, we try to stick by our friends and, you know, by patriots and folks out there that the globalists are coming against. Also, so folks can, find a good constitutional lawyer. There's a lot of well-known people in our community that should take your case for free because it's just a few motions you need filed. So give us the website.
Yeah, it's Powder Burns at prodigy.net. That's my email address, powderburns@prodigy.net. You can email me or go to my website, powderburns.org, powderburns.org, or you can actually call me at 956-345-5770. Once again, 956-345-5770, and I certainly do appreciate any donations you could do.
Absolutely, but bigger than anything, we need folks to get a good Second Amendment lawyer and to file a civil rights case on this, because the first thing they tried to set you up on, they had to drop, but then they came back again with double jeopardy, right, Shelly?
Well, that's absolutely right, Alex. What they did was they knew, in fact, that they didn't have a case on me. So what they did, once again, they manufactured the evidence on the criminal complaint, and then they went and arrested me. And they held me for 8 months on those charges. After that, they came back and said, you know what, Mr. Castillo, you were absolutely right. You were not a prohibited person, and we're dismissing the whole case. But you need to plea out to aiding and abetting and a conspiracy of selling guns without a license, which half of the gun show does. They don't have a license, and they've been selling guns just like everybody else does under the Second Amendment. But they chose to go after me. I did not have the funds to fight the government. And I pled out to it, and, certainly hoping that I was going to get probation, but instead I got 37 months in it. And I'm supposed to be reporting to La Tuna in El Paso on a low security facility, not a minimum and not a clubhouse or whatever you want to call them. But I will be bunking with about 40 guys. And, you know, my face has been on every newspaper, TV magazines. I just did the drug war documentary. So everybody knows what I used to do for a living. And here I am being sent by the Bureau of Prisons to La Tuna.
Well, you're going to find we have listeners in prison everywhere. I think you're going to end up being okay unless they send in a hitman against you. But I tell you, you're racking up a lot of treasure in heaven, Shelly. So give out that email address.
Yes, it's powderburns@prodigy.net. And if you go to my email address, you will find my mailing address and so forth. And feel free to contact me anytime. I have that thing on 24 hours. So.
All right. In closing, we'll have you back up with an update in the next few weeks, maybe have you here into town in studio. The M16 issue with the grenade launchers, they say that hand grenades are being bought at gun shows. Total lie. You were going to make a point about that being a fraud.
Yes, that's a fraud. Any AR-15 you buy at a gun shop, anywhere, whether it's a Rock River, a DPMS, or whatever, those weapons, those barrels, are not fit to fire full automatic. You'll shoot maybe 50 rounds through it at full auto when you jack up the trigger mechanism, and then the gun is completely destroyed. So the barrel is not manufactured to take a full automatic weapon.
On record, the U.S. military has given the drug lords the weapons.
Exactly, absolutely.
Shelley, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, Alex, and I certainly hope I come back on tonight.
All right, God bless you. Let me say bye to you off air.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, I've just got him for about 20 minutes or so. Then we're going to open the phones up at the bottom of the hour. He is State Representative Charles Key, and he has gotten it passed out of their House, a resolution, very strong resolution, declaring state independence against gun confiscation, martial law. We had State Senator Brogdon on yesterday, who has a mirror of it in the Senate. They have a very good chance of passing it in the Senate. Now a majority of states have introduced or are passing this type of legislation. Have a headline up on Infowars.com covering that right now. So Representative Charles Key, thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for joining us with an update.
Thank you, Alex. Good to be with you again. Thank you.
You bet. Tell us what's going on.
Well, we're just I'm just getting flooded by emails and people all over the country and in our state, and even a few legislators. The list is growing. I think it's about 30 or so now, and it looks like it's just going to keep growing of states that have filed a 10th Amendment resolution or something like it. And I'm real encouraged. I think things are moving in a good direction right now in our country at the state level.
Well, that said, I'm sure you know that the Attorney General's announced they are going to introduce soon an expanded assault weapons ban, and they've got gun registration, gun bans in there, psychological federal testing. I mean, they're moving quick, so it's a good thing the states are moving to block it.
Yes, and you know, I'm getting tired of this. I think what the people need to do, and I think state legislators need to do, we need to face up to the fact that we have people in office at the federal and state level that are violating the supreme law of the land, and other laws for that matter, and we need to call them what they are. They're lawbreakers. They are the ones that are breaking the law. No one wants to really say that. I don't find any great pleasure in saying that, in you know, addressing this problem in this way, but I think it's time that we do that, because we can't continue to give ground away to those that will violate the supreme law of the land and put up laws that are in violation of it and really are no laws at all. You can't have a supreme law of the land that says and lays out what every level of government and individuals within the government can and cannot do, and then allow those individuals to then violate that and just make it up as they go along.
Well, we know
in what they're doing.
We know in the Jesse Trinidad murder case, we have, via the lawsuits, this has made national news, his internal memos that the Attorney General is Deputy Attorney General under Clinton covering up and saying this is a national security matter of this OKC thing. We've got to pull out all the stops. This is like a D-Day operation. This is national security, highest level. We got to cover this up. This is a really nasty character.
Well, you know, we can fix these problems in this country. There's so many examples, and Oklahoma City bombing case is a very good one. And thank God for Jesse Trinity and people like him that won't let go, and they keep fighting this thing and dig more and more evidence out. But there's more than enough evidence for the people to see that their government is out of control. You know, the difficulty is knowing that there's a lot of good people in government. There are, and probably a lot more than there are good. There's no question about that. But you keep putting these pieces in place of laws and regulations and the bad players in the government, and you allow an opportunity for people to take advantage of it. You know, I heard a guy on a radio show that was a call-in just a few days ago, and he was talking about his father-in-law, who was born in 1900, died in 1999. He was 99 years old. German, lived in Germany all of his life, lived through both world wars. And this son-in-law was asking him, as the son-in-law was doing a doctorate and putting a paper together, he interviewed him for that paper that he was preparing, and he asked him what it was like between the two world wars, World War One and World War Two. And among some of the things he said that the father, who was an attorney, by the way, he said, you know, people knew it was coming, but what happened is once they got all these little, they took all these little incremental steps and got these laws in place, it made it very, very difficult, almost impossible to stop it, because people allowed it to happen step by step. And it's easy for us to think in a defeatist way, and sometimes we as Christians will even think, well, it says in the Bible that in the end times, this, that, or the other, you know, whatever scenario, whatever interpretation. And then think in terms of, well, it's going to happen. There's nothing we can do to stop it, or it's too hard to stop. That's just defeatist thinking. We must overcome that kind of thinking and stand up to these things that are going on in our society, because, you know, we can stop this from happening, and we can do it peacefully without any kind of violent action needing or having to be taken later on down the road.
And I agree. The United States really is the only place ever that had, you know, the closest you can get to true freedom and liberty, and it had never been done before, and we did it here, and look how it's just more dirt. This country doesn't have that much resources compared to Mexico or other places that, you know, are enslaved. It was because that spirit of liberty and that trailblazing idea and that idea that of entrepreneurial spirit and so many other things, that adventurer spirit, that this country became so wealthy, so all the evil moved here to take over that engine, and now they've done that, and they're trying to secure the robbery, the hijacking they've committed, and they're so openly criminal. I mean, it's turning out that most of Obama's administration just doesn't even pay taxes, and that is his chief of staff and the head of the Treasury, and they just don't care, and they're openly setting up youth brigades and spy forces and FEMA camps. I mean, but thank God the states are moving to block it, and if the people get excited about this and take action, there's nothing that can really stop us.
Well, and here's what I think is another point of information that should be encouraging to people, and if they will take advantage of it, it can pay a lot of dividends. The fact that there's a lot of good state legislators out there, some of them are more knowledgeable than what we think or know, and some of them are not, but they're pretty good people. And if people will go and educate them, we'll communicate with them, or just give them the support in a lot of cases. Give them the support, let them know you're there, and that you want them to take these actions like oppose Real ID Act and other things like that, support constitutional legislation and a return to the Constitution. They will stand up and do that if people will just back them up.
Exactly. What happened is good people stood down and said, oh, America's fine, we won World War II, we're the good guys, and then the evil just took over. If we just stop sucking our thumbs and stop saying it's too big a problem and having this defeatist attitude, we can take things back. But if we don't, folks, some of the worst criminals in history are now in control of our society. Foreign banks are openly looting us. Now, we've got you here today. You got the resolution passed in the House. Tell us how that fight went. And then now it's going to the Senate, and the state senator, your colleague, told me yesterday on air that it looks like it's got a good chance of passing. So tell us how that process of passing state sovereignty declaration, what's in it, and then now where it's going, how we carry the, you know, we've got the ball down to the 1 yard line, and you know, we got one down here. How do we get across it?
Well, here in Oklahoma, it's in good hands over the Senate with Senator Brogdon. He's going to punch it on over the goal line over there, and then it's done. And I think that's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. And we'll probably be the first state to pass it out of both bodies. So it's moving down the road real well. The Republicans captured the Senate, So that puts us in a much better position to be able to pass legislation like this. People are becoming more aware and informed, and I'm talking again about legislators. The people here in Oklahoma, there's some organizations that have come together and just individuals that have come out to lobby and inform their legislators about their interest in the 10th Amendment resolution and other legislation that they're either for or against because it's, you know, it's protecting their rights or it's opposing laws that are bad for their constitutional rights. And those groups have become pretty powerful here in Oklahoma. I know other states can do the same thing.
That's right. People
just organize, and we'd be willing to help them right here in Oklahoma. These groups, myself, there's a lot of folks that are doing a great job in Oklahoma. And if you don't have something going in your state, you can easily get something going and get a lot of people that think alike to come together and start lobbying your legislature, and it'll pay off.
Resistance is victory. Resistance is victory. And that's what's so scary about this is that people don't realize the power they have. And when I interview representatives from all over the country, I mean all over the nation, the East, the South, the West, the Central states, I mean, these are Democrats and Republicans, and they know about the FEMA camps, and they know the bill numbers. They know about the PDD 51. They know about the gun confiscation. They know about the New World Order. They know the foreign banks are taking over. They know, and they tell me that the word is spreading fast. And, folks, that's the cadres of leadership that now fully know we have a criminal federal government. And if we just put wind into their sails on the good ship of liberty, we are unstoppable. I'm telling you, the education level's high enough now that if they pull a false flag or whatever to try to attack the states or, you know, pose as our saviors to bring in martial law, I don't think it's going to work. But the foreign banks are going for broke. They've engaged in so many crimes now, they've got to bring in a total police state to secure their ill-gotten gain. Can you speak to that, sir?
Well, I think, if people will work at the state level with their state legislators, their House members and Senate members, that's going to pay big dividends. I just came out of a meeting with our assistant floor leaders, which I'm one of here in the House, and we have a weekly meeting. We review legislation and things that are going on and talk about various topics. And we had some good discussions about some of these kinds of issues, including the Real ID Act and biometric and privacy issues and things like that. And again, legislators are just like people that you work with every day and deal with every day. They just need the information. They just need good, solid information, and they need some alternatives. Instead of, and I don't think there's anything wrong with being against stuff, but, you know, you hear people come out and say, well, you guys are just against things all the time. Well, okay, if that's a problem for some people, let's give them some alternatives. In addition to being against, like, the Real ID, let's tell them what the alternative is that would be better. And there are some good alternatives out there that
are reasonable. How about we're for the right to keep and bear arms and protect ourselves? We're for sovereignty. We're for saving the republic. We're for not letting offshore banks hijack us.
Right.
Charles Key, stay with me one more segment. I want to come back and give out your website and, again, call the listeners to put pressure on any key personnel, any key representatives, servants in the Oklahoma Senate, because I'm told this vote is coming up quick. And this will send shockwaves across the land. Stay with us. We're making history thanks to great leaders like Charles Key. Our precious Second Amendment, purchased with the blood of our founders, is under total assault. Open socialism is being called for. Private banks are not nationalizing. They're hijacking through government the system. Your call's coming up in the next segment at 800-259-9231. Representative Charles Key, who masterminded taking action. Many other states are doing it. It's upwards of 30 now. Many of them are passing or preparing to pass it. It's passed the House. It's now going into the Oklahoma Senate. Again, this will be another precedent. This will legitimize it more as we move forward. These are not weak resolutions. These are strong declarations of putting the criminals on notice. How do we help you get this passed, sir?
Right now, the focus needs to be on the Oklahoma State Senate if people will call or email state senators in Oklahoma, because they're going to be taking this up in their committee maybe this coming week, and then on the floor right away as soon as they pass it out of committee. Once it passes the Senate, it does not go to the governor. It's done. It's passed. It's law. So we need to put the pressure on the Senate, let them know that the people really want this. They want them to pass it, and they want them to pass it soon.
Give folks the bill number in the Senate.
It is the same bill. It's H.J.R. 1003, and Randy Brogdon does have another bill that is over there. It's S.J.R. 10. So mine that's already passed and is on a kind of on the fast track is H.J.R. 1003. His bill is S.J.R. 10.
And he said they may try tricks because they think that you guys have the votes in the Senate, tricks, parliamentary tricks, to shoot it down. What are those tricks?
Well, I didn't get to hear the interview, but, you know, they can try to, you know, there's different little procedures you can pull. Kind of caught me off guard on that one.
They can attach it to other bills that aren't popular.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if they do that, but I'll believe anything anymore. But I just don't expect that's going to happen, and especially if people will continue to call and email. We've gotten so many, and I appreciate it so much, but we can't slow down now. We've got to pick it up, take it up to another level. I don't think they'll do it. I think people are starting to get the opinion. I'm getting comments from legislators in Oklahoma just left and right. They're being, you know,
put your foot down on the pedal, son. Never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out because we got a run to make.
Yeah. Yeah, things are going well. Let's just keep it up. Take it up to another level.
Absolutely. Son, put your foot down on the pedal. Never mind them brakes, because the globalists are coming. But I think this preemptive letting the feds know, and I agree with you. We've got to point out, I mean, have you read how many of his administration don't even pay taxes and just thumb their nose? I mean, these people are out of control.
And that's where we're going. When you ignore the Constitution, when you ignore the supreme law of the land, in other words, when you don't have a set of rules and laws that are above everything else, it's called the rule of law. When you don't have laws that everyone has to follow and they're the same for everyone, they're not a different set for the leaders or the elitist or the politicians and another set for the people, then things work well that way. But when you don't have that, when you have that violated, then what you devolve to is you devolve to leaders that do whatever they want to do, and then they have these laws that they apply to us whenever they want to apply them. And that's where we're going. We're practically there. And if the people don't stand up and put their foot down and stop this, it's going to be like chaos.
And the enemy is testing the water. They were about to pass a flatulence tax on all farm animals, and then there was so much pressure they backed off. They were setting up their Napa superhighways. They've backed off for now. But then people say, well, they're back again. Yeah, it's an eternal fight. The cost of liberty is eternal vigilance. Give us your website. Give us contact info for folks that want to support you, sir.
My website is charlesky.com. My email is charles.key@okhouse.gov.
And what about folks that aren't on the computer? Phone number?
Phone number would be 405-557-7354.
Well, you're volunteering for a lot to help listeners try to package something for the, 20 states that haven't introduced this stuff now. This is very exciting, and just God bless you and others that are doing this, Charles Key.
Well, I appreciate it, Alex. You know, I actually think the number is up to 29 right now. It might be 30.
It's 30, yeah.
Yeah. And I know some other states. Florida is very close to having a bill. West Virginia is very close. And I'm sure somebody else is out there getting ready to file some things that we don't know about.
All right. We'll talk to you. I hope to talk to you next week. I mean, how soon can this be passed?
I think Brogdon can get the two bills passed over the Senate next week, but I don't know what their schedule is, it's possible it can be done next week.
Well, let's hope the feds don't do what they did in 95. Charles Key, we'll talk to you soon. We salute you. Godspeed.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. We'll come right back with your phone calls and how the Obama administration doesn't pay taxes. Taxes? We don't need no stinking taxes. That's for you. We'll be right back. We're going to go to your phone calls here in just a moment. Then we've got guests joining us coming up in about 15 minutes. Before we go to your phone calls quickly, Wilson, Mark, Matt, Lindsay, Greg, and others, I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors, SurvivalistSeeds.com. One word, SurvivalistSeeds.com. Now you can grow your own healthy food for just 4 pennies a pound and break free from the New World Order. Our sponsor, Survivalist Seeds, has now drastically reduced their price for heirloom seeds at SurvivalistSeeds.com. They now sell 6,000 rare heirloom seeds from 20 varieties for just $108.95. That is an incredible deal. There's a real heirloom seed shortage right now, so people interested in growing their own healthy food need to get their heirloom seeds now and start their gardens this spring. Freedom starts with action. SurvivalistSeeds.com is how you survive this world economic collapse. We've got to be self-sufficient, at least start moving in that direction. The place to start, SurvivalistSeeds.com. Okay, let's go to your phone calls. Wilson in New York. You're on the air, Wilson. I hear you breathing, Wilson. Let's talk to Mark in Oregon. Mark, you're on the air.
Morning, Brother Alex. How you doing?
Doing all right, Mark.
Alex, last night George Norrie had on a guest that he's had on before, a man named Roger Tulsis. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's a professional security analyst and researcher. And he says that an individual's DNA can now be used to tailor-make an electromagnetic signal which is transmitted to the individual that they want to transmit it to. They can direct this to an individual. And that this signal then interacts with the person's genetic structure.
Yeah, they have the DNA is electrochemical, and I know DARPA and the Pentagon have worked on systems. I didn't know they could tailor it down to DNA, but they do have systems that they can beam you with it off and on from one of their surveillance blimps, and then you get cancer.
Yes, and that's very similar to what you're speaking of, but now they've got it to where they can, as long as they have a DNA sample, and when I think of what he said last night, I think of, you've very well publicized the fact that they've been taking blood samples from babies at birth, basically, since 1973, I think you said.
Yeah, the Austin American Statesman said for 44 years, we have the government documents. It's since 36 years ago, all over the Western world, and it's held in United Nations and Cold Spring Harbor eugenics laboratories publicly.
Yes. So
I mean, it is being held by those that openly say 80% of us at least need to be killed.
Yes, at least. More
and
like
they illegally did it. I mean, it's admitted it's illegal, but it's criminal. They're criminals.
Yes, they step right out in the open. They of course, it's their same old saw these days where they're looking at it from is they have the brute force. They can do anything they want to do. They have the means with which to enslave mankind, they feel in their minds, I believe, as we speak here. They can let it. They can let the hammer down any time. That's their attitude, and they have an agenda to fulfill. And it gets into deeper things as to why they don't move faster, but I believe at the top there's God, and he controls them. But, Alex, when it comes to this, as well as chemtrails, and when it comes to these so-called cell phone towers that they have constructed, which also have this capability.
Okay, DARPA has openly said, this was in the Baltimore Sun 8 years ago, and then I saw it again a few months ago, that DARPA is testing towers, but they said just to calm the public during emergencies, they've got frequencies. I mean, this is mainstream news. We're in 2009, boys and girls, and I mean, that sounds like freedom, having mind control towers. I appreciate your call. I mean, that's reasonable. These are nice people. Thank you, Mark.
Thank
Matt
you,
in Missouri, you bet. Matt in Missouri, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex.
Hi.
I know you had Representative Guest on. From here in Missouri.
Yes.
And Harry's piece passing a lot of anti-New World Order legislation here in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
He's got HB 361, which is the Anti-Real ID
mm-hmm.
Act. And that's...
Which is not to be used against the illegals. It's for citizens. Illegals are right. Exempt.
And he just got that passed out of committee.
Just like they have federal ID requirements to get a federal job or contract, but the illegals are exempt. That is in the stimulus bill.
Right. And he just got that passed out of committee. So if we could have help getting a hold of all the
Yeah, everybody should look at the list of states that are up on Infowars.com, and they should call all those states and make sure it gets passed.
And, of course, you've got, you know, HCR 13, which is the 10th Amendment one that you've had him on about, and he's got several others that are... So, and if I could also make a point, you know, you had the caller earlier with some of the stuff on the with the biblical stuff. Like Representative Keith said earlier, you know, we've got to fight this. There's not going to be any pre-tribulation rapture. It's very clear about that. There's nowhere in there says anything about a pre-tribulation.
Look, look, the globalists over 100 years ago financed all this, and they financed these movies and these books. And literally, you go to church, it's a bunch of thumbsuckers worshiping the government, saying, praise God, things are getting bad. We'll soon be out of here. It's cult members. They're not Christians. I hear you, and I appreciate your call. And I'm sick of them. Let's go ahead and talk to Matt in. We just talked to Matt. Let's talk to Lindsay in Idaho. Lindsay, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex.
Hello, Lindsay.
How are you today?
Good.
Just a pleasant surprise. I have on my homepage on my computer is the MSN, you know, homepage. And they have, of course, the news, the sports, and the money section, which I always watch. Number one article right now is Fear Factor, gun sales on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, that's, you know, looks like an interesting article. Let's see what it is. And I click over to it. And this guy's talking about that in this time of the stock market and all, that Smith and Wesson, Ruger and Cabela's are all are making, you know, tremendous profits because of gun sales and so forth. And
is that MSNBC?
Yeah.
MSNBC.com?
Yeah. www.msn.com. is the homepage, and you'll see it under money. So I went and I started to read the article. There's about a half a dozen other articles here about jobs and surfing your way through it, and they have here about the number of comments and views. On this particular article, there are 145,000 views. No other article's got more than maybe 2,000 or 3,000, some less than 1,000.
No, everything is Second Amendment now. Folks are really waking up with these dirtbags going after our guns.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. And so I was curious. I said, well, let's go to the comments. I want to see what some of the American people are writing in to MSN on this article.
And it's all, it's New World Order. You'll never get our guns, states' rights. And I go to ABC News. I go everywhere. When the Wall Street Journal says we need world government, every comment of thousands is you're going to be defeated, globalists. But well, let me guess, what did it say?
This was pleasant. Just several of these comments, and all I'm going to say is this, out of the hundreds and hundreds, there's like 60 pages now of comments. The majority of the people that are writing in comments, I can tell by what they're saying that they're not gun nuts and, you know, and all this, but they are educated people and they read other things and listen to other things besides mainstream media. Some have mentioned things like, go ahead, take the Kool-Aid. Well, you don't hear that on mainstream too often.
What is this under on MSN.com? I'm on it right now. What section?
The homepage, MSN.com, and you go down, it's just to the bottom right.
What's the subsection? Fear Factor, I found it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You see it now? It says Fear Factor Gun Sales. You click on that.
Now I'm on it.
And it goes to the article. And, of course, the guy, he's talking about money in the stocks, and this was, you know, the drive of the article. But it was, like I said here, where it says discussed, 580 comments and 145,000 views. People are waking up. And
I know,
but
let me stop you. Let me stop you. But they're going to stage terror attacks soon to try to get people to go back into fear. So we need to expose who's going to be behind the terror. So when they carry it out, that only wakes people up. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, again, I'll let you go. I know you're busy, man. You got other people with smarter things than I to say.
Oh no, great point. Appreciate your call. Let's go ahead and take one more. Then we're going to get our guest online. Let's. Go ahead and talk to Greg in California. Greg, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for being there, Alex.
Thank you.
I do have one question, though. You say always to question things, and secondly, most important, follow the money trail. I'm wondering what happened to the CAFR proposal by Walter Buren. Why, if Congress is so supportive of instituting all these resolutions, they don't bring these two-thirds of the money they have available into supporting things that are going to support the Constitution and bring back the resolutions that they say they're supporting.
Well, we need to get my film, Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, exposed out to people. The state legislatures, not the Congress federally, are being educated by us right now. And so you need to educate them about the double set of books. Some of them know, a lot of them don't. The committee chairman and a lot of people do. And we need to expose the scam and call for criminal investigations of the banking and state and federal and county financing systems. And that's what we call for here.
Okay, so how can we best support that, education?
Yeah, I think you need to. Yeah, I think you need to write your own article with basic facts, or send them links to my film free on Google or YouTube, and go to the legislature, bring them a copy, and you know it's all part of this awakening process. Just like Charles Key said, we need to point out just simply these are criminals in the federal government; these are lawless thugs who are breaking the law, and point out they are the criminals. They are illegitimate. I mean, they're ridiculously criminal. Right out in the open, everything they're doing.
That's my point. You know that Key and other people that are supporting these resolutions are knowledgeable about the CAFR funds available, or are they?
Look, I'm not sir. I'm not omnipresent, and I appreciate your call. They're doing the best they can. They're anti-private Federal Reserve, and that means they're anti-comprehensive annual financial report. And I would imagine a lot of them are aware of it. And we're trying as hard as we can. So you need to call them. You need to ask them. You need to do it. Okay? We're trying as hard as we can, do the best job we can here. I assure you of that. I just told you, you know, you move the ball. You have the power. You're the people, not me. I said, I made a film. I made it for free. I did everything I could. I have guests on about it all the time. And I kind of get the idea of, you know, there's like, ooh, something stinky in Denmark. You make it. You go. You know, you do it. You know, let's abolish the Federal Reserve. Let's support Ron Paul's bill to do that. Let's do it, man. Let's do it. Okay. I'm excited for the next hour and 15 minutes to have David Bay and Chris Pinto of Cutting Edge Ministries. And I have carried, now three of their films. The latest documentary is right here, Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, Volume 3, Eye of the Phoenix, Secrets on the Dollar Bill. It's available right now at Infowars.com on the online video bookstore. And I've seen all three of the films. These are with actors, well-directed. Can't believe how good they are for the budget they've got. I mean, this is real filmmaking, and it's like better than Discovery Channel or History Channel when you see those history shows. Very well done. Eye of the Phoenix is the third volume in the Secret Mystery series, unfolding the hidden layers of America's beginnings. Part 3 exposes more on the founding of America with a focus on the history of the dollar bill. We'll be taking your calls on this next hour, but let's punch this up on screen so the people watching PrisonPlanet.tv live, simulcast the radio show, can see that. We'll put a link up to the shopping cart for folks. You can also call toll-free to get it at 888-253-3139. But we'll talk more about that. Let's start breaking this down right now. Kind of briefly recap the first two films and now this third film. David Bay and Chris Pinto, thank you for coming on, man.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us, Alex.
You bet. Good to have you here. Who should I start with first?
I don't know. Choose your poison there, Alex.
Are you guys on the same phone line together?
No.
Okay, no, separate phone lines.
Okay, well, let's just start with... Now, you guys have directed these together. Some are directed just by Pinto. Mm-hmm. Others are directed together. Tell me about the new film, just a boil down of Eye of the Phoenix, Secrets of the Dollar Bill.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, Eye of the Phoenix is... the research for this really began when we started doing the research for part one, and we were interviewing kind of our chief expert, a guy named Buff Perry. And Buff Perry has very close associations with the Rorick Museum and this guy Nicholas Rorick, at least the memory of Rorick and the history of him and his family and his affiliation with the FDR administration and all of the links between Rorick, FDR, Henry Wallace, who was the Secretary of Agriculture and who became the Vice President, And then, of course, all of their links to Manly P. Hall, who's, you know, considered the Masonry's greatest philosopher and so on. But all of these guys were interacting with each other in the 1920s and 30s, in the years prior to FDR making the decision to put the Great Seal on the back of the dollar bill, and then to overhaul the whole design of the dollar and to come in with all the intricacies that are now there.
And, so, and with these guys, this is a public ritual, putting this on the dollar bill. It had been the secret seal for a long time. They believe this meant that that a great part of their new order or new world order had been built?
Well, that's the way that it comes across. If you read the official history from the State Department, and we document it in the film, the account that the State Department gives on the history of the Great Seal and it going to the back of the dollar bill talks about how Henry Wallace saw it, and Wallace apparently, at least in the account, acts as though he'd never seen it before, and he thought it was very powerful, and of course he was a 32nd degree Mason, and so he brought it to FDR, who was also a 32nd degree Mason at the time, and FDR reacted to it as though he had never seen it, and they both believed that the new order of the ages, the Novus Ordo Seclorum, and FDR's idea for the New Deal were one and the same thing.
And now they're saying we're on the verge of a global New Deal, which is a global bank ruling the United States and every other country in the world. This is being trumpeted everywhere. So it's key to study this to understand now they believe they're finally bringing in the final world government.
Yeah, and they're repeatedly associating Barack Obama with FDR, and they're calling him the next FDR.
And he said three times in his acceptance speech, in his swearing-in speech, the new age is here.
Yeah. He's continually making reference to the new age. It's almost like they're totally letting their hair down at this point and just coming out with it, that yes, this is what they've planned to do all along, and they're becoming more and more open about it.
Now, of course, this new age means most of us are going to be killed. But right now, everybody's giggling and happily running down to the guillotines, not having an idea that... But let's go through the film when we come back. This is very exciting. The film is excellent. Just amazing. Eye of the Phoenix, Secrets of the Dollar Bill. Get it at InfoWars.com. Show it to your pastor. Show it to your neighbors. Give it to low-level Masons or high-level Masons and ask them, you know, what do you think of this? Because most Masons aren't bad people. They're just deceived. It's just like any gang system or any intelligence operation. It's highly compartmentalized. All right, we'll come back with Eye of the Phoenix, Secrets of the Dollar Bill, right after this break. Third film, just so well done. Secret Messages of America's Beginnings, Volume 3, Eye of the Phoenix, Secrets of the Dollar Bill. You know, I shouldn't even really ask a lot of questions. I've researched this, but you guys have gone to another level of that, a different perspective. Just break down the basics, and then let's go through what this eye is, what the New World Order is, you know, why they put it on the dollar bill, and then how this ties into Obama today, and go through some of the film itself. It's just amazing. You guys, go ahead. You've got the floor.
Go ahead, David.
Well, we show that the same, you know, that the same message that we told in Riddleton Stone is shown in the medium of the dollar bill, and that is that the Masonic, you know, fraternity, you know, back in 1776 in that area, or in that era, decided to establish America as the New Atlantis, as a nation that would gradually lead the rest of the world into the New World Order, and then stage their Masonic Messiah. That's the message on the street layouts and the paintings and the sculptures of Washington, D.C., as we told in Riddles and Stone, and that's the message on the dollar bill. You know, all the symbolisms of the $1 bill. It's the same message. It's the same story. And regarding the currency itself, at the end of this video, we show that the eagle on the back of the dollar bill was really the Egyptian phoenix bird. And of course, that bird at the appointed time, dies, and it's expected to die, and its body bursts into flame, and out of the ashes come a new phoenix bird. And we show that, you know, our belief that the dollar bill was designed to be as the phoenix bird, and at the end of the period, go into destruction and dissolve. And out of that destruction will come the global currency and the global New World Order.
And Albert Pike wrote this in the 1760s and 70s, founder of the Klan, Confederate general, Grand Commander. Manly P. Hall wrote this. And I talked to Masons, and they don't even know about this. I mean, they're not being secretive. They just deny it and can't believe it because they're porch Masons. And now we're here, the destruction. Your take on this, Chris Pinto.
Well, I think the important part about the symbolism of the phoenix, especially as it pertains to FDR's administration, is that Manly Hall was the guy who was writing all of this stuff in his books. He was the one who was describing the American eagle as an Egyptian phoenix bird, that it was a cleverly disguised phoenix and all of the symbolism that goes with it. Now, FDR, right after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, apparently, sent emissaries to Manly Hall's library to microfiche all of his materials. And the chief things that Hall was writing about during that era had to do with the secret destiny of America and how secret societies had planned America as the new Atlantis and that it was going to develop into this one-world democratic system, supposedly. And this was all what, you know, FDR seems to have been influenced by, because he's talking about the destiny of America in his writings.
Well, so we've got a break. Back in 1 minute, we see the same thing from, of course, Woodrow Wilson writing the book, The New World Order, and then before he died saying, I was conned, it's all a scam, it's evil, you know, because they suck in people about how loving and good it is, but at the end they find out it's a very dark god. Okay, David Bay, Chris Pinto, I have the Phoenix, Secrets of the Dollar Bill. You were continuing, Chris, with the destruction of the United States, the rise of world government. Please continue.
Yeah, it's just very interesting. You know, I've been reading articles just about the planned destruction of America. In fact, there was that book, I think, about 10 years ago by James Wardner by that title. And I remember when I first started hearing about this, it sounded too incredible to be believed. A family member of mine, you know, called me who had been skeptical about this and then talked about watching a video presentation that dated back in 1995 where somebody was talking about the financial situation in America and how that they were planning the destruction of our economy. And it seems too incredible to be believed, but then when the housing market crashed, and then you have China and France coming out calling for global currency and a new world order. And then Henry Kissinger coming forward and talking about how Obama's positioned for the establishment of a new world order. It's as though everything is happening right on cue, right according to some greater plan. And I think the symbolism, we talk in at great length about the esoteric symbolism of the symbols on the dollar bill and what they may well have meant to men like Hall, to Nicholas Roerich, to Henry Wallace, and FDR, and that collectively they would have symbolized this destruction of a phoenix that then leads to a rebirth, and that by destroying America's currency and possibly America itself, there was just yesterday Glenn Beck on Fox News had a quote that was sent out by Rupert Murdoch. I don't know if you guys caught this, but it was very interesting.
Yeah, we caught it about how it's a new order is upon us.
Right.
Where the new order is upon us, world government. You go, I don't want that. It does not exist. Seize him.
Right. But it's just incredible how everybody is just stepping forward as though they all know what is supposed to happen, right on cue, and now the things move forward. But yeah, that's generally. But we're talking about an Eye of the Phoenix, is all of the undercurrent for these things and how they materialize through the 20th century. We sidestep carefully because a lot of the debates about the dollar bill have to do with the founding fathers of America and what the founding fathers intended. And that's very difficult to discern when you focus on the Great Seal and trying to figure out what they intended for the symbolism there, because you had 14 different men that worked on three committees, and then all of their work was handed over to one man, Charles Thompson, who then comes up with the final seal design, and he submits it to Congress in a written form. It's just a written description. He had some preliminary sketches, but ultimately it was all just written down. Congress approved that, and then you had these realizations of the seal that came about, but they were all slightly different. But the formal design, the one that we see on the Internet and that people write about and talk about, that has all of this precision to it and this Masonic and occult imagery, that was made formal during FDR's administration. That's where things like the stars above the eagle's head went from being just a loose star field into a hexagram with a circle around it, like the Star of David and so on. And then so we've got one of our, occult experts, Doc Marquis, who comes in and explains the series of hexagrams that he finds.
All right, we come back. A long segment, plenty of time to talk. When we come back, we'll break this down. But, reading the Bible, Solomon's seal, that's not the Star of David. It's the seal they sealed the devils with, or the genies, whether you believe in this or not. That's what they say. And they believe these symbols to have power need to be shown, like the Washington Monument, the big phallus, and the capitals of the breast of the goddess, with the goddess, capping them, and they're bringing all of this in. We'll talk about their fruits when we come back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
This film also deals with these theosophic societies that just carry on the ancient Babylon mystery religion, who are searching the world for their Christ. And they claim, many different people have been this Maitreya. One of them that they announced was their leader in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s is the guy that you see in the new Zeitgeist addendum, and then all the symbolism in that. So we also have a lot of these groups now coming into the Patriot or Awakening movement, and they say that this, this Christ is coming, and the churches have been, prepared for that. They've been told to support Israel no matter what Israel does, but the Bible says the Antichrist will be there first posing. So this is just amazing deception that's going on. A lot of people then say, well, the Babylon Mystery School people kind of planted the Bible as ideas to be a type of predictive programming to where this will be manifest. But if you really read deeper, this is another counterfeit lie they're putting out. And expanding on that, they believe that they need to get rid of the majority of the world's population. So if you look at the fruits of the New World Order and the high-level Masons, which is just one arm of this, very horrible fruits, very, very horrible things they do, incredible human degradation, and they rationalize it saying it's the balance. It's bringing balance to things. Continuing with our guests, Chris Pinto and David Bay, the makers of Eye of the Phoenix, again, incredible film. Chris Pinto and then David Bay, along these lines, breaking down the film. And let's go back into the film itself and what these people in their own writing say they believe.
Well, I think a lot of it, what we really tried to show, you know, in their writings, you were talking about the connection with the Theosophical Society. And during this time, there were, you had Henry Wallace, who was the Secretary of Agriculture, becomes the Vice President later on, and he was a member of the Theosophical Society. And with him, his spiritual mentor, a guy named Nicholas Roerich, who's been sort of erased from modern history books, but was a very central figure back in the 1920s and 30s, and was very closely associated with FDR's administration. And he was seen to be the successor of Madame Blavatsky, who had founded the Theosophical Society in the late 19th century. And his wife, in fact, Helena Roerich, had translated Blavatsky's book, The Secret Doctrine, into Russian. So they were very, very closely affiliated with the society, and they ended up forming their own New Age group called the Agni Yoga Society and so on. But Roerich was this celebrated international figure. He was a painter. He was a philosopher and so on. He was very deeply involved in the occult. And as a result, Henry Wallace, who was his pupil, his disciple, became deeply involved in the occult as well. And Roerich spent years of his life traveling through Eastern countries, through Tibet and so on, looking for Shambhala, this legendary, you know, paradise-like kingdom, but also looking for signs of the coming of the Christ, you know, the fifth Buddha, the Maitreya. And this was a central doctrine in the whole theosophical belief system. But you had major figures. You had guys like Mahatma Gandhi and Nehru, the first prime minister of India, that were both involved in theosophy. You had Thomas Edison, the great inventor, who was a member of the House of Theosophy, and so on. So there were a lot of intellectuals, and the group itself was very political. It formed the underbelly of the League of Nations, of which Roerich is credited for having been an inspiration of. And then subsequently, when, you know, that was dissolved and the UN came together, Roerich is credited, you know, his whole philosophies and so on about world peace and world brotherhood. He was, through his artwork and his writings, amalgamating all the different cultures of the world in his paintings and so on. You know, so he's combining Jesus and Buddha and Krishna and Muhammad and so on, relying upon these universal archetypes as being, you know, different parts of one and the same thing.
Now, this is just their front, though. I mean, specifically studying them, and you go into that some of the film, there's this very dark side, and you find that dark side at the top of the pyramid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think the dark side comes in, well, for me anyway, the dark side comes in with this artifact that Roerich claimed to have, this stone that was delivered to him, and that we reveal through the course of the film was a stone that was said to have fallen from the crown of Lucifer, the archangel. And we talk about how the underbelly of theosophy is really the worship of Lucifer, Satan, declaring that Lucifer is the true God. And Madame Blavatsky in her writings had talked about, you know, the belief of the theosophists, which was ancient Gnosticism, which is, goes back to the Garden of Eden, and she uses this phrase, demon est Deus inversus, meaning the devil is God inverted. And they switch the roles of God and the serpent in the Garden of Eden, and they declare that God, who created Adam and Eve, was really a devil because he forbade man to partake of the tree of knowledge. And the serpent was really an angel of light, Lucifer, who came to redeem mankind by getting him to partake of the tree of knowledge.
Okay, so they say they're so loving and good. Why do they love slaughtering and killing whole populations? Why? I mean, I guess the Mother Earth needs that.
Mm-hmm. Well, because they're Luciferians. We show that both seals are Luciferian and Egyptian in origin, and carry. And then we have a couple of experts that break down the symbolism on both sides, and we just prove that the symbolism of the dollar bill is Luciferian, that, you know, to its very core. You know, what was really interesting to me is that is not the Nicholas Roerich, who is a channeler and a mystic, channeler of spirits, and his wife was too. I wasn't so surprised that he believed that this stone contained Lucifer's power, and that he who held it would have that power, and that power could move the world into the New World Order. But what was interesting to me is that Henry Wallace, who is Secretary of Agriculture and Vice President under FDR, believed the same thing.
And then meanwhile, David Bay, you have Hitler, part of the Theosophic Society, running around trying to find different artifacts, and one of you's got a phone short, whoever's moving that. We have to switch phones. He had to run around and get all these amulets and talismans and the Shroud of Turin and the spear that pierced Christ's side and the Holy Grail and Tibet and Nazis digging things up in Tunis and running around. Whether people believe that this stuff's real or not, the lunatics running things, I've been to Bohemian Grove. I snuck in there. I mean, Skull and Bones, they really do believe in this. Please continue.
Yeah, well, the thing that we try to bring out in this in this video is that FDR was extremely much like Hitler in the fact that he believed in these same things, and he was sending Nicholas Roerich all throughout the Far East to discover many of the same things that Hitler
and
was.
So did Stalin, and so did Lenin, and so did the British royalty.
Right, exactly.
And then Tony Blair today, Skull and Bones, all of these groups are completely and totally obsessed with this.
Exactly. But, you know, people do not realize the deep occult religion, for the lack of a better term, of the FDR administration. From FDR down to Henry Wallace and
Lincoln at seances and channeling.
He did. His wife is especially deep into that. Yes.
Look at Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at Hillary.
Hillary Clinton
bragged that she had seances with Eleanor Roosevelt. I mean,
The Roerichs were so deep into this, though. I think it's interesting. They were so deep into this that they were claiming in their diaries that they were having objects materialize from the spirit realm. They were having coins and other things from the spirit realm come into their seances. And very serious. I mean, these are people who are international figures that are impacting world government, and they're claiming that these spirits are sending things from the other side to them. These were not lighthearted accounts that were given. These people were deeply involved in the worship of Lucifer.
And they're in control of the nuclear weapons, the bioweapons. They're getting everybody's DNA, admittedly, to create race-specific bioweapons.
Right.
They're in control today, and they are going to kill a lot of people, folks.
Yep.
Continue.
So that's that I felt was a very important thing to prove, because a lot of people, I've seen some Christian ministries even try to defend FDR as possibly being a Christian, because he'll make, you know, he made certain speeches at Christmas or this kind of thing, talking about the birth of Christ and whatnot, and not realizing that as a Mason and as somebody deeply involved in all this stuff, he would have a completely different view of who Christ was and what he represented and so on. And also the strong Masonic connection with his entire administration, with him, with Wallace, with the Secretary of Treasury, with a guy named Louis Horch, who was financing Nicholas Roerich and built this huge building for him. He had government positions there with FDR, and he was a 33rd degree Mason. All of these guys were deeply involved in this society.
Chris Pinto, David Bay, got a break. Let's come back and go through more of this and get the film. There's too much to cover here on air. Eye of the Phoenix at InfoWars.com.
There's a man going around taking names. and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
One of the biggest issues I've noticed is that the occultist, the Rosicrucians, all these groups, basically same religion, run the atheistic, agnostic groups, the humanist groups, and also have infiltrated all the seminaries. They brag about it in their books, as you men know. And they're obsessed with discrediting true Christianity. But then, you know, they're a bunch of occultics. Why do they accept all the other religions except for that? But I mean, that's a whole other question. I want to run through some of the other characters in the film, but also want to spend time on how they, from your research, how they plan on destroying the United States and then rebuilding it to bring in their new world order. But please continue with our guests, David Bay and Chris Pinto.
But the Lord tells us that he is wrath and serpent and innocent
of dove. Okay. I think one of the guys is listening to the radio over the internet delay. That's probably David Bay. Let's go back to Chris Pinto. Chris, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Again, Eye of the Phoenix is part three. Part one, we wanted to talk about the foundation of America, you know, going back to England, and this is the birth of the new Atlantis and viewing it that way. What was interesting to me was discovering that the very first history of the Great Seal that was written by a guy named Charles A.L. Totten in the 19th century, and he was an American Army officer, and he had, when he's writing about the Great Seal, he's writing about the mysteries that are associated with the founding of our republic, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of really, you know, interesting mythical fairy tales that are told about angels visiting George Washington and mysterious figures coming from out of nowhere and doing certain things to, you know, inspire the signers of the Declaration of Independence.
Providence.
Providence, exactly. Or so they would call it, but not necessarily all of them. But Totten, in his History of the Great Seal, writes about it, and he talks about the birth of America, and he says specifically that he believed it was the fulfillment of what Sir Francis Bacon had called the New Atlantis. So he ties it all together in his history. And one of the things that we talk about in the film is one of the mysterious origins, or said to be origins, of the Great Seal. Some people have argued that you can't really know where the Great Seal came from because so many fingers were involved in it, in designing it. And so they've put forth this notion that it came from the spirit realm, that it materialized. And there's actually a history that's documented in a book, Founding Fathers, Secret Societies, by Dr. Robert Hieronymus. Now, the account might not mean anything except for the fact that Hieronymus is the leading expert in America and probably the world on the history of the Great Seal. He's the guy whose research is used by the State Department, by the White House. It was given to Anwar Sadat years ago before he was assassinated, when Sadat was inquiring about the Great Seal because he saw the pyramid and he thought there was some connection between Egypt and America as a result. And anyway, so Dr. Hieronymus records this history where Thomas Jefferson with John Adams and Ben Franklin were supposedly trying to come up with a design for the Great Seal. And in their frustration, Jefferson goes outside, and some mysterious figure in a dark cloak comes out of nowhere and has this something in a satchel, and he hands it to Jefferson, and he says, "I know you've been struggling for a, you know, to come up with a design. Here it is." And Jefferson supposedly opens this pack up, and there's the design for the Great Seal of the United States, and he goes rushing in, tells everybody about it, and when he comes back, this mysterious figure is gone. And it's a really bizarre account, but it's a recorded account. And there are people who, to this day, claim to believe that that's where the Great Seal originates
from. And, of course, it doesn't just end there. And I would say somebody's got a phone off the hook in an office. We keep hearing a woman talk. I'm just going to put that on record here because I want people to be able to hear what you guys have to say. I'm not sure which phone's doing that, but somebody needs to check it. that there's occultic symbolism all over D.C., all over the world, and all over the other money as well. It's just everywhere. They're upset. I mean, the National Press Club symbolism is the staff of the wizard, the little owl, the eternal flame of Bohemian Grove. It just goes on and on. So let's talk about that, gentlemen, when we come back and take some phone calls. And what their great plan is from your deep research on this subject. Just an amazing film. You can go up to Infowars.com or PrisonPlot.com, watch the trailer. And I hope folks will get Eye of the Phoenix, Secrets of the Dollar Bill. This is something that will really wake people up, especially Christians and agnostics, to the fact that there's an occult agenda going on. Phoenix, Secrets of the Dollar Bill. Your phone calls coming up in a few minutes. I got to have our guests back on for a more in-depth interview because there's just so much to learn here. Again, I came upon researching the New World Order just from a secular position, looking at what the elites believe and are pushing, and these are horrible creatures. And they have a lot of well-meaning idiot camp followers that buy into the whole New Age. There's nothing new about it. Let's hit some of the other key areas of the Eye of the Phoenix. And perhaps I should go back to David Bay for his take on some of the things that Chris Pinto was just saying. But then also, I want to go back to Chris Pinto because the way these films are made, I mean, this is shot with actors. It's lit great. I don't know how you guys do it for the budget you have. It's just an amazing feat. And to do it three times.
The credit for that all goes to Chris. He's an accomplished filmmaker and... And you know, once he became a Christian, he realized he couldn't work for Hollywood, so now he's using his skills, you know, for us. So that credit all goes to him. But one of the major points comes at the end of the film, where we disclose that there is a direct link between the symbolism of the all-seeing eye of Lucifer hovering over the unfinished pyramid, which is the developing New World Order, and the Masonic plan to rebuild the Solomon's Temple for their Christ. And when the Christ arises, he will symbolically replace the eye atop the pyramid, thus completing the pyramid. So back in 1782, when this design was created, the Masons at the time and the Masons today planned to rebuild that third temple for their Christ, and that symbolism is on the dollar bill.
And they have the Israeli Supreme Court building with the big all-seeing eyes, and they've infiltrated Christianity and changed things to a pre-tribulation rapture, and so the Christian church is ready to accept the first Christ as the Christ.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's a warning that we issue in Riddles and Stone toward the end of that documentary. But the point is that this plan to globalize the world and then stage their Christ, this plan has been in existence since at least their founding fathers, and we show in the New Atlantis, the first video, the plan goes all the way back to Sir Francis Bacon and Queen Elizabeth in England in the 1580s and 1590s. So this is a long-running plan.
It's just amazing to see it unfolding now. The Luciferians, Mr. Pinto, they believe that they are now in the final phase, correct?
I think they do. I mean, you've had these guys coming out for years stating that their world teacher, their Maitreya, their global messiah, is getting ready to merge at any moment. I mean, back in FDR's era, they believed that was the case. This guy, Krishnamurti, who I think you mentioned earlier, was the guy that the House of Theosophy believed was going to be the Christ figure, and then he came out and said, no, it's not me. Then you've had Benjamin Krem, who for more than 20 years, almost 30 years now, has been going forth announcing that the Maitreya would appear at any moment, and this Maitreya is the same, you know, fifth Buddha Christ figure that they were anticipating during FDR's administration.
And Lucius Trust, has the little prayer area at the UN in New York. I mean, this is their religion.
Yeah, the meditation room. If anybody goes to the UN, I've been to the meditation room in the United Nations building. It is a very occult room that they put together. And if you go on their website and read about it, it's just it's very plain that that it was designed based on occult principles in no uncertain way. But yeah, they've been anticipating this figure. In fact, Benjamin Krem, back in November, Share International, his group, sent out some email and some news announcement. Now that it was actually after the election, once Obama won the election, within a month they sent some press release announcing that Maitreya was going to emerge, that he was going to be interviewed by some world-famous journalist or something, and then all of these miraculous and wondrous things were going to be happening in the coming year, supposedly this year. But Krem has been saying this kind of thing for many years, so who knows what's going to happen. But yes, they think the time is nigh. They believe they are right on the edge of this whole New World Order coming about and their world teacher coming forward.
Bunch of lunatics. I want to go to some phone calls, but I want to tell listeners who haven't gotten the first two in the series, we have all three at InfoWars.com right now. Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, Volume 1, Riddles in Stone, Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings 2, and now the third, Eye of the Phoenix, Secrets of the Dollar Bill. If memory serves me right, you guys wanted to make one film early on, but you understood it was such a saga, such a history, that, I mean, I've watched all three films, and, you know, it's just jam-packed with info, and you never cover the same info twice. How many total in the series are there going to be?
Well, there were originally going to be four. If we can find the funding for it, we would. The material has blossomed into seven, so we'll just have to wait and see how things progress. But there is so much material that we need to talk about relating to the secret mysteries of America's beginnings that it could take seven volumes to tell the whole story.
No, it's a real education because I've done a lot of research and I even learned a lot of new stuff I didn't know. Watching these films, and it's also all very well documented. I want to take a few calls here, but any other key points you guys want to make about the film?
Did you notice the Bohemian owl that we talked about all over that dollar bill?
Yes. Tell us about that little fellow.
Well, hidden in a couple different places on the dollar bill, there is an owl that is identical to the Bohemian Grove owl. And we have a short segment in there about the Bohemian Grove, which ties in exactly with your DVD on that subject. I found it very interesting that the fact of the documentary took that turn.
Yeah, well, you know, people say to me, "Oh, the owl isn't Moloch." I understand that was symbolized in Tyre as a bull and other areas as a ram, other animals. But occultists always give 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 meanings. They address it as the owl of Bohemia, and then on their own literature, they address it as Moloch. When I was there at the ritual, infiltrating it in July of 2000, they addressed it. First, they said the spirits of all our dead Grove members are here. Then they addressed it as a female. Then they addressed it as a male. This goes into their religion, and a lot of the occultists out there like to pick at us, and we're not allowed to talk about this and all their mumbo jumbo garbage. But any comments on that?
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just going to make the comment, Alex, just to follow up on the whole owl Bohemian Grove thing. One of the things that we show in the film is the presence of the owl throughout Washington, D.C. If you go in the government buildings, if you go in the Library of Congress, in the U.S. Capitol, and so on, you will find little owls carved into, the most remote places inside D.C. I mean, they're all over the place.
Those are spiritual guardians.
Yeah. Yeah, the practicing occultists believe that the form that a particularly powerful kind of familiar spirit takes the form of an owl, and the owl was Sir Francis Bacon's favorite familiar spirit, and so it's been popular all down through the century since.
Yeah, I had pretty high level Masons, here in Texas, in my family lineage. And, in these old farmhouses and places, there's little, bronze and cast iron little owls. And,
right. Yeah, that's a familiar spirit that comes and guides them and gives them encouragement, gives them guidance for their life, and that kind of thing. It's and of course the Bible says that we are to not have any contact with familiar spirits. It's a representative of this Luciferian religion that all of the Masons and Rosicrucians and other members of secret societies follow. If people really got a hold in their mind that our government leaders are, you know, these Masons and these Rosicrucians are practicing occultists and are following an occult plan that follows Bible prophecy, then that would revolutionize the opposition to the New World Order.
And that's what the Bible says. It says they have their counterfeit, and the occultists go, no, this is the Christ. You know, look, you know, we wrote your Bible. I mean, it's just such deception. It's just amazing.
Yes, it is. It's amazing. But the exciting part of it for us is that this all comes down, and they are aiming for the very thing the Bible says will happen, and that is a Christ figure that will claim to be Jesus Christ and all the world's religions, and will take control of a global government, a global economy, and a global religion.
Well, I mean, look at how the last two popes are calling for a one-world government, and I have video of them joining hands with all the other religions. I mean, they're all pushing for this.
Yeah. And the Illuminati back in 1991 made a decision that the Roman Catholic Pope, whomever he was at the time, would become the top religious leader of the New World Order religion. And so the Pope is right in the thick of things.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have all three of the films available at InfoWars.com. I hope you'll call and get it as well as if you're not online. 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. Eye of the Phoenix. Let's go ahead and take some calls. Ron in Arizona, you're on the air with the two co-directors of Eye of the Phoenix.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. If we're living in the last days and a new world order will be established, as the Bible says, should we resist it no matter what, because the Bible says we should do that? Proverbs 24:25 says that those who rebuke the wicked will be blessed. Those who keep the law strive against the wicked, Proverbs 28:4. And if the righteous gives way before the wicked, they are like a muddy spring or a polluted well, Proverbs 25:26. And then Ephesians 5:11 says that instead of participating in the deeds of the wicked, we're supposed to expose them. And then Paul said in verse 14, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Any comments on that, Alex, Mr. Pino, Mr. Bay?
Well, I think we should resist. I right now we can resist legally and write letters and call our congressmen and do all the talk as a million man voice. I think we should. But as a Christian ministry, we strive to use our events of the new, the coming New World Order to get people to come to Christ.
But if they are saved, they're going to be fighting evil.
Yeah, we right. have to fight evil
I mean, it is grace that comes first, but the evidence of that is that you're going to fight evil.
Because we're commanded to throughout the Bible. These are just a handful of verses.
Yeah, but if you're really fighting evil, I mean, if you're really right with God, you're not going to be able to control yourself. You're going to want to help people and fight evil and stand up against corruption. And you're not going to be a coward. And I'm telling you, I go in these churches and I feel an evil. I mean, it's evil. Most of these big churches, it is evil. I go in there and I feel evil, and because it is evil. I appreciate your call. You guys want to comment on that, Mr. Pinto or anybody?
I just wanted to say one of my favorite scriptures has to do with John the Baptist and how and why John the Baptist was arrested. He was arrested not just for speaking out against King Herod's adultery, but the scripture says he lifted up a shout against all the evil that Herod had done. He had been speaking against all the evil that Herod was guilty of, and I think that's part of what we're doing in these films, and it's part of what we believe is the right thing to do. God's prophets and wise men and followers have always spoken out against evil in the land whenever a king or a queen or whoever was given over to it.
Yeah, well, like Ezekiel said and others, they were threatening to kill him, and he said, I can't help it. My bones are burning. I've got to do this. And people don't have a compulsion, a drive, an overwhelming need to fight evil and defend all these innocents that are being slaughtered and enslaved and the captives. Then you are in league with the force of this world, period.
And Jesus said that to whom much is given, much will be required. So for those of us who know the truth and know the truth behind the truth, it's incumbent upon us to resist.
Absolutely. Let's talk to Wilson in New York. Wilson, you're on the air with our guest.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. I just want to thank you guys for being able to bring together all the information and make it so understandable. And I also want to thank you, Alex Jones, for taking me out of my dream state of just smoking every day, and you turned me into someone who just is in a drive for information and trying to understand things. And things like the Eye of the Phoenix do help me understand things easier. So I just have one question. It's the movie, I'm actually reading the book, though, Angels and Demons, talks about a lot of information. I was curious if any of that information could be true.
You're talking about the book they're turning into the film with about the Illuminati and all that?
Yeah, with Tom Hanks, by Dan Brown.
Yeah, that's really all twisted, because it says there's the Illuminati, but it's fighting Christianity and the Catholic Church, when really all those major institutions are working together. Gentlemen, you have comments on that?
I haven't really studied that book. I couldn't comment.
Well, I mean, you find out in the first one that it really is the Holy Grail, and the Holy Grail is the goddess. It's just very occultic.
Talk about the New World Order and Bilderberg, so none of that I should take seriously.
Well, the Illuminati loves to jump in and muddy the waters and take control of dissident groups or write a book that is partly true and partly false. They love to do it, and stuff like this may be that kind of a thing.
Okay, sir, I've only read a synopsis of the book and the film. I read the first one. I listened to it on a book on tape because I wanted to understand it. Let me guess, they say the Catholic Church is fighting the Illuminati in the book?
Do they explain that Adam Weishaupt came out of a Jesuit college in Ingolstadt, Bavaria? That he was he began as a Jesuit, and he used the methodology of the Jesuit order to found the Illuminati.
I'm asking is exactly, specifically, does the book, from the synopsis I've read, and maybe I should read it, I'm just so busy, it says here's the Illuminati, here's the Catholic Church, the two are fighting. Is that the message?
They say that the Catholic Church doesn't like the Illuminati because they were coming from a different standpoint, and they had people like Galileo and other scientists like that. So that's basically why they say they're against each other and why the Illuminati...
Exactly. The Catholic Church is backwards and bad and wanted to go after Galileo. So in a way, the Illuminati's the good guys? I mean, I haven't read the book yet, sir, so I appreciate your call, Wilson. I can't really comment. I've only read the synopsis, but I'll find out more. It's about to come out. I just don't like watching movies like that, but I'll try to track it. We're going to come back, take one final call from Jeff in Canada for our guest. The video is The Eye of the Phoenix, Secrets of the Dollar Bill. Get it at InfoWars.com. All right, we're going to go right back to our guest, take a final call or two. Got to have... Mr. Bay, Mr. Pinto, back up in the near future, because I know there's a lot more people want to talk to him and pick their brain with all this important knowledge. Remember, our sponsors like SurvivalSeedBank.com make this radio show possible. In a real crisis, having non-hybrid seeds means having the ability to grow your own endless supply of nutrient-dense food to feed your loved ones. And there's a war on against non-hybrid seeds waged by the global elite who want to control us by controlling the food supply. Governments are storing seeds, the UN storing them in these big seed banks. They're buying up the non-hybrid, non-GMO seed stocks and literally not selling them to the public. So it's important to rediscover all this. They have high-quality seeds at great prices. SurvivalSeedBank.com or give them a call at 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365. Fabulous folks at SurvivalSeedBank.com. And... if you're not going to learn how to garden and learn how to grow food, I think you should do that. But at the same time, you should also check out eFoodsDirect.com, the best storable foods company out there, where I get it, non-GMO, clean, healthy, good food, very low price. They have a three-day responder, three-day supply for like $21.95 as a test of their high-quality food. eFoodsDirect.com, eFoodsDirect.com, or 1-800-409-5633. Give them a call. Get a free catalog. Go to eFoodsDirect.com. Watch the introductory videos they have there. eFoodsDirect.com, 800-409-5633. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. We're almost out of time. Let's take a call from Jeff in Canada for our guest, the makers of the Eye of the Phoenix.
Hi, Alex. It's Jeff. I have been a longtime supporter of yours, and I think you're having an excellent discussion today. I know time is short, so I'll get right to it. Your guests mentioned that the American dollar is meant to perish like the phoenix and then rise up again in a new form. And I just wanted to put this out there as an insight. Perhaps they're thinking that that one world currency will actually be in the form of carbon credits.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've mentioned we're moving to a cashless society, and how better to regulate people than link everything to carbon credits.
And that goes into the Gaia worship. Let's get a comment from our guest on that fine point.
It's possible. I mean, it's clearly possible, and you know, I think Obama is going to be the man that's going to shepherd America through that whole process.
Well, that's what Kissinger said. He's going to bring in the New World Order, Mr. Pinto.
You know, I haven't studied the carbon credit thing enough to really comment on that specifically. I'm still wondering if they're going to. You know, if they're going to somehow or other initiate the North American Union and then bring in the Amero or something similar.
Yeah, they're going to do it in three blocks first. Great point. Thank you, Jeff. TJ in Nevada. We just hung up. I'm not going to go to anybody else then. Anything else, Jeff? Okay, thank you. Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for coming on the show. Each of you a closing one-minute comment or 30-second comment. Go ahead, David.
Well, this Eye of the Phoenix documentary tells the story that the Masonic and Rosicrucian secret societies and their modern day descendants like Skull and Bones have originally, from the time from before America was founded, planned to use America as the powerful, prosperous nation to lead the world, the rest of the world, into this global government economy and religion, and then stage their Masonic Messiah. And all that symbolism is found on the dollar bill. And as we say in Riddles and Stone, the same story is in the street layouts and the paintings and the sculptures of Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. Closing comments quickly, Mr. Pinto.
Well, I think the fascinating part of this whole thing for me was how the Great Pyramid symbolizes Solomon's rebuilt temple in the city of Jerusalem. And part of what we show at the end of the film is how you've got Orthodox Jews and Freemasons working to rebuild the temple there in Jerusalem in fulfillment of the appearance of their Christ figure.
That's right, Chris.
And all the symbolism.
Chris Pinto, David Bay, we'll talk to you very soon from Cutting Edge Ministries. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Alex.
You bet. All three films are available right now at InfoWars.com. Retransmission starts now with a bunch of key info with the gun confiscation bills now moving. Eric Holder openly announcing at ABC News. We'll be back in 1 minute covering that at InfoWars.com. God bless you all.